You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
I'm about to have you meet and put faces to many of the real people who have been suffering after taking the COVID vaccine. We desperately need the medical community to recognize us and help us find a solution. Until this is recognized as a real problem, the medical community won't research this, and we will continue to suffer in silence without treatment. We're not anti-vax. On the contrary, we all tried to do our part to help stop the pandemic by getting this vaccine. So let me introduce many of them to you, all of them weeks to months out from the vaccine, and still being affected by these symptoms.
Johnson & Johnson, New Jersey. I want to be heard.
Pfizer, Ohio, we need to be heard.
Johnson & Johnson, Tennessee.
Pfizer, Illinois.
Moderna, Texas.
I live in Puyallup, Washington. I am suffering, and I want to be heard.
Pfizer, Florida, I want to be heard.
We need to be heard.
Please, let us be heard.
I had the Moderna vaccine in Wisconsin.
Pfizer, Indiana.
Pfizer, Florida.
I want to be heard.
Moderna, Minneapolis.
Moderna, New York. I need to be heard.
Pfizer, Louisiana.
Pfizer, Illinois.
I need help. I want help, and I want to be heard.
Pfizer, Maryland.
Pfizer trial for 12 to 15-year-olds, Ohio.
We need help.
We need to be heard.
Johnson & Johnson, California. Please, we desperately need to be heard.
I need help, and I need to be heard.
We need to be heard.
Moderna, Kansas.
Moderna, Virginia.
I received the Moderna vaccine on March 11th, and my life hasn't been the same since.
Pfizer, Texas.
Pfizer, Virginia.
Moderna, Oregon. I want to be heard.
Hear us.
I am now suffering, and I want to be heard.
We need to be heard.
Pfizer, California.
Michigan, Moderna. We need to be heard.
AstraZeneca, clinical trial in the United States. Utah, please, we need help.
I need to be heard.
Pfizer, Arizona.
Moderna, California.
Moderna, New Jersey.
I deserve to be seen, heard, and believed.
Please, we need to be heard.
Please, let us be heard.
Please, people need to know what we're going through so we can get the help we need.
My wife deserved to be seen, heard, and believed.
We have a right to be heard.
Please, there's so many of us that need help.
Pfizer, Berea, California.
Moderna, Connecticut.
Arizona, Johnson & Johnson.
Moderna, New Hampshire. We want to be heard.
I want to be heard.
We listened, so we believed that this vaccine was the right thing to do. So please, trust us and listen to us when we tell you that we are continuing to suffer physically.
I'm speaking on behalf of my 17-year-old daughter. Pfizer, New York. We need help. We need to be heard.
I am afraid to be shown due to the negative consequences some of my fellow sufferers have faced for speaking out. But I need help, and we desperately need the medical community to hear us.
I had the Pfizer vaccine, and I have been suffering now for almost 3 months.
Incredible, folks. That is a video called Vaccine Injured Start Hashtag We Want to Be Heard campaign. And we'll hear from a few more later in the program, videos of people testifying about their experience and their reactions to the experimental gene-altering vaccine, which has left them with brain injuries, heart injuries, just a plethora of horrible side effects. We'll be talking about that today. But also today is July 9th, which means it is day one of the World Economic Forum's Cyber Polygon planning meeting, similar to the Event 201 that preceded the outbreak of coronavirus. And here's the interesting thing. The outbreak of coronavirus was predicted in the Rockefeller Scenarios Planning document under the name Lockstep. But Lockstep was only one of the scenarios. One of the other scenarios is called Hack Attack. So we'll be revisiting the scenario planning document and revealing how, once again, everything seems to be lining up exactly as foretold. All of that and more in today's program. It's American Journal. We'll be back on the other side with the Daily Dispatch. A lot of videos and a really spectacular guest. So stay with us, folks. It'll be a good show.
iodine is one of the most important drivers in the body for fertility, for cellular function, for libido, for life. If you don't have iodine, you die in a matter of months. So if you don't have oxygen, you die in 4 minutes. If you don't have water, you die in a week or so. If you don't have food, a month or so. But what's in that food? Iodine. But if your food doesn't have that atomic pure iodine, it can't operate. And the food itself is lacking. That's why most people on Earth are deficient in iodine. And governments are lowering the allowance you supposedly need to have because they want control. Ladies and gentlemen, our information is powerful. Our products are just as powerful. Experience clean iodine today. It's discounted. 40% off of the dropper bottle, 60% off of the spray bottle. You take it to your mouth. Pure atomic iodine with free shipping, double Patriot points, at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't wait any longer. Just like our information is powerful, our products are just as powerful. They don't want you to experience this. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. Take action. Find out what you're missing. Get the missing link. Get X2.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Journal. It's Friday, July 9th. Very glad that you're here with us. Band.video, Infowars.com. Make sure to share those links. Let's begin right off the bat with our daily dispatch, shall we? Here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Friday, July 9th, 2021. Pfizer and BioNTech say booster shot delivered about 6 months after the second shot is likely to provide the best protection from COVID-19, according to initial data. They're also working now on the Delta variant vaccine, which may be available as early as August. Because, yes, folks, you let the snake in the door. You opened Pandora's box. You thought the vaccine was a one-time thing? Of course not. They saw they could do it to you once. They'll do it to you every 6 months, maybe every 3 months, maybe every month. Who knows? It'll be like your computer getting an update. Your gene architecture will be manipulated on a regular basis. And, you know, thank goodness, because one thing we do know is that those pharmaceutical companies, they need those billions of dollars of tax money from your government that we'll be paying endlessly. Every 6 months or so, we'll just pour tens of billions of dollars into the pharmaceutical companies. They'll produce who knows how many vaccines, whether they work or not. I mean, who really cares? They just get all the money, and then we force people to take the vaccines, and then we send all the rest overseas to everybody else, and the money just keeps rolling out of your pocket. Really incredible stuff. So there you go. Booster shot for the Delta variant coming soon. You thought you were vaccinated. No, no. You are now of the vaccinated. You are now to be vaccinated continuously forever. And even if you don't get vaccinated, you'll still be paying for it. Speaking of, mom, 45, who got job at Johns Hopkins Hospital, dies after reaction to work mandated COVID vaccine. Maryland healthcare worker who just accepted a job with prestigious Johns Hopkins Hospital reportedly died after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine required for employment. Appearing skeptical, the 45-year-old mom, Robin Spring Saunders, wrote on social media that she received her first jab on June 21st and that it was mandated by her place of work. Quote, I'd never thought I'd get a COVID shot, but I got my first one today. Unfortunately, my job requires it. Johns Hopkins told her she had to have the shot to start her new job, and now she's dead. Likewise, news anchor gets double jabbed, and then doctors find two brain masses. He now needs brain surgery. And again, we'll show you some more videos of people with severe brain conditions now that they've gotten the jab. And it's only been 4 months, folks. Who knows where this eventually goes? Joe Rogan defends Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones from CNN, saying, quote, both men say things that are logical. Podcast host Joe Rogan defended Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones from attacks by CNN's Brian Stelter this week, arguing that both hosts make logical points that are undeniably accurate. Earlier this week, Stelter and Oliver Darcy ran a segment attempting to lay the groundwork to get Tucker Carlson deplatformed from Fox News by comparing what he says to Alex Jones. Speaking with Podfather Adam Curry, Rogan highlighted the fact that not everything Alex Jones says is so far from the truth, and that he hits closer to home than the fake news pundits want to admit, saying, quote, the idea they're not monitoring Alex Jones is insane, right? Rogan said, playing clips comparing Carlson's statements to Jones, going on to point out how Edward Snowden's NSA revelations showed wide federal dragnet surveillance on both Americans' electronic communications. Quote, so whether or not they're monitoring Tucker Carlson, I don't know. I mean, they are, though. We do know that now, and they are. We know that they have the ability to do so. Edward Snowden exposed this. This is truth, right? They've admitted it. This is why he's living in Russia now, right? This is why he's on the run. It's like, right? Right? I mean, I'm not crazy, right? Like, this actually happened? Like, I actually remember that? No, Joe. History's being rewritten as we speak. Edward Snowden didn't reveal anything. The NSA is not spying on Tucker Carlson. Domestic terrorist attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th in a coordinated, pre-planned insurrection coup based on anti-Semitism and white nationalism. These are the facts now. I know it's confusing because they weren't the facts a month ago, but history has to be rewritten. The party has to always be right. The future is always complete, rock solid, never changing. The past, however, in a constant state of flux because they have reversed reality fully. Okay, hope we understand. Now the world is inside out and you're the crazy one. Tyson's chicken recall grows by 500,000 pounds with about 9 million pounds recall for listeria risk. More Tyson food chicken is being recalled for possible listeria contamination. And we'll revisit this in a little bit, but keep this in mind as we go on to talk about the lockstep scenario plan, because the foundational theory of the Rockefeller and the globalist organizations is that the larger an institution is, the better it is. That's pretty much it, right? But what we know is that when you have a company like Tyson with almost monopolistic control over a major food source like, I don't know, chicken, one single problem in that company affects the entire nation. Whereas if you had a bunch of smaller local farms, you know, raising and selling chickens, one farm might have a listeria outbreak and it affects one small community to a minor degree, but it doesn't have the widespread, wide-reaching effects that a major institution controlling all of this distribution does. So let's just lay it on the line here for revisitation later that their entire philosophy of control is utterly broken from the very beginning. So there you go. Tyson with just tens of millions of pounds of chicken being produced in just the most horrific conditions you could ever possibly imagine has created a listeria outbreak that's caused at least 3 illnesses and 1 death. Of course, which is interesting because I guess that means the listeria outbreak of Tyson food is a lower body count than the vaccine. Much, much lower. Significantly lower by thousands and thousands of deaths. Much, much safer to eat listeria-ridden chicken than it is to get the vaccine. HHS Secretary Becerra says, absolutely the government's business to know which Americans haven't been vaccinated. Because he can just do that, I guess. That's just... this is just where we are now. Yeah, clearly, it's not. Clearly, the government does not have a right to know your private medical decisions. It has no place in your personal medical records, but they've just announced that they do now. They just do. And we don't like this. Nobody likes this. They have no justification for saying this, but we just live in a world now where the government just makes pronouncements as if they're true, as if they're law, and everybody just goes along with it because we're all too stupid to stand up for it, I guess. So there you go. Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra said Thursday is absolutely the government's business to know which Americans haven't been vaccinated yet against the coronavirus. See, what happened was they said we're going to send people to go door to door to target and harass people that have not been vaccinated. Everybody said, well, how do you do that? You don't know who's been vaccinated. You're not allowed to have access to private, personal, secret medical records. And the government said, yeah, we do. Of course we do. We can do whatever the hell we want. We're the government, and you're too scared to stop us. And they're right. New Yorkers wade through waist-deep floods to reach their trains as storms pummel city. I'll remind you, folks, the weather we're experiencing right now, not natural. I wish it was. You know, I really wish we lived in a world where, you know, it can be sunny outside and suddenly a rainstorm rushes in. You think, gosh, that's strange. Nature sure is wild, isn't it? You don't really think that anymore, do you? I don't. It's been happening here in Austin. It's literally bright and sunny outside, and all of a sudden there's just like a rush of rain. My wife and I both like ran out of, we were in different rooms, we like ran out in the hallway like, what the hell was that? Because it was sunny outside, and it sounded like a like a tree fell over or a crash or something, but it was just a burst of sudden rain rushing across us. I'd love to just think like, ah, man, weather systems, nature, God, what a crazy thing. No, no. The Chinese, the Americans, the Indians, massive governments, HAARP is back online. Everybody is doing cloud seeding and weather manipulation. And now we're seeing flooding in New York. Detroit flooded last week. We're just having massive collapse. Seems like on a daily basis, there's some sort of huge disaster with infrastructure completely failing. And now the Biden administration is putting forward an infrastructure bill. Remember, they crushed Trump's infrastructure bill. Trump got elected saying he would bring about the biggest infrastructure bill we've ever seen. That got squashed under Trump. Now it's back under Biden. But when they say infrastructure, they mean things like teaching your preschooler that he's actually gay. That's what they mean by infrastructure. Gay propaganda is infrastructure, according to these scumbags. All right, we'll be right back. Finish up the Daily Dispatch on the other side.
So, we have free shipping, double Patriot points through this weekend, and our big loss leader is X2 in the dropper and in the spray bottle for 40 and 60% off, and your purchase funds the M4. But seriously, the UN admits 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of lack of iodine. You need to experience it for yourself. Takes 2 weeks to a month to kick in. Try it and tell me what you think. You can't lose your fun in the InfoWar. And again, I can harp on this all day, but just like our information is dead on from research, I'm telling you, I couldn't do what I do without Deep Earth Crystal Iodine and X2. Just in the stamina and mental focus area, it's incredible. What it did for libido is incredible. When I don't take it, I feel the difference. When I do take it, I'm so empowered. Get your X2 today, discounted in the spray bottle and in the eyedropper bottle to take under your tongue at InfoWarsStore.com. The globalists hope you don't explore how incredibly powerful Deep Earth Crystal Iodine is.
As men age, they often experience a slowdown in vitality, energy, and overall wellness.
And that's why we made one of our most popular formulas to date, Super Male Vitality, specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper balance to create superior vitality in males. Now look, this unique formula promotes your body's own natural responses, and it contains no synthetic chemicals and no unwanted additives.
Yes.
We're talking about ancient wisdom combined with modern technology, working together in perfect synchronicity to help you get the most out of this herb-packed formula. So what are you waiting for? Go to the InfoWars store. Never been a better time than right now. Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's time to show them what a real alpha male looks like with one of our most powerful products ever made, Alpha Power. As you age, your body can lose testosterone over time. With the incredible ingredients in this formula, we can help you beat the test of time and assist in restoring that lost energy and mood that comes with time and age. Alpha Power's incredible ingredients can help you boost your sports performance or enhance your day-to-day life with ease while encouraging hormonal balance. Perfect by itself or with Super Male Vitality in the true Alpha Male Pack. Alpha Power can help boost performance, help maintain normal testosterone levels, support healthy cholesterol, and more. Let Alpha Power help bring you to the peak of your optimal health. Don't fall short on energy in the fight against tyranny. Show the world what a true alpha male looks like today with Alpha Power. Head to InfoWarsStore.com today.
I preach about the dangers of cell phones all day long because they're supercomputers controlled by big tech that are spying on us everywhere we go and what we do. But because they have great cameras and great recording systems and great ways to communicate, I still have one because this Trojan horse, this Promethean fire, has a lot of power. But when I'm not using it, I lock it up in a high-quality Faraday cage, a privacy pocket, at InfoWarsStore.com. We finally got them back in stock, the highest rated. They fit almost all types of Androids and iPhones at 50% off, $14.95. They sell these babies for $29.95 all day long. We've got a private label with InfoWars on them. for $14.95 because I want you to get them and I want you to buy friends and family these systems to educate them about what these, quote, smartphones really are. This is a great way to limit your phone time use. It's a great way to spend more time with your family, and it's a great way to know you're not being tracked by the criminal globalist system. They're 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Nice to let the song play every once in a while, isn't it? It's a good message to be reminded of. Keep your rifle by your side. All right, folks, welcome back. Let's finish up this Daily Dispatch. Newsom asks all Californians to voluntarily reduce water usage by 15% amid drought. Governor Gavin Newsom on Thursday expanded his regional drought state of emergency to apply to 50 California counties and roughly 42% of the state's population. Governor Gavin Newsom is asking Californians to voluntarily cut back on consumption of water by 15% compared with last year as drought conditions worsen and temperatures continue to rise across the western United States. Yeah, just total collapse, doesn't it seem? I mean, you got New York flooding, California in drought, buildings collapsing, oil rigs exploding, just massive collapse on every different level across the entire nation, across the entire world, really, in a rapid succession starting just a few months ago. How strange it is that all of this is occurring so quickly. You know, it's kind of like the cyber attacks that all just sprung up out of nowhere and all started happening constantly. And then we have, you know, the Secretary of Defense coming out and saying, yeah, this is just something that is going to happen and is going to continue to happen and is something that is with us and we have to continue to deal with. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Since most institutions have been connected online and had much weaker cybersecurity for the last two decades at least. Why now? Why is all of this just happening now? Why is this just sprouting up right now? Again, stay tuned, folks, because it's all revealed in the Rockefeller scenario planning document. Truly incredible. I was mind blown when I revisited this document later, and we'll get into it next segment. I'm very excited to reveal this all to you. Teachers Union President Randy Weingarten defends critical race theory. Nation's second largest teachers union is placing itself at the center of a national debate around critical race theory this week, taking aim at GOP opposition to it while hosting one of its most prominent advocates who referred to former President Donald Trump as a racist. Day two of the American Federation of Teachers Teach 2021 conference Wednesday, author and prominent critical race theory advocate Ibram X. Kendi, whose real name is like Randy Smith or something. Ibram X. Kendi. All right, Randy. And AFT President Randy Weingarten defended the academic theory while going on offense against critical race theory opponents. Hilarious. This will be another large part of today's program. We're going to really break down critical race theory, go back into its history, and just try to struggle with the fact that on one hand, they're saying it's a completely made up nonsense. It's a GOP boogeyman that doesn't exist, while simultaneously saying, yes, it does exist. It's good. And we're going to indoctrinate your children into this mindset. So a little hypocritical, little dishonest, but not what we don't expect from the dishonest liars teaching our children on a daily basis. We'll spend a lot of time in today's program on that. Facebook is developing its own city near Silicon Valley HQ. Welcome to Zuckerville. Facebook is developing its own city near Silicon Valley HQ to complete with 1,700 apartments, a supermarket, a hotel, and new offices. So I think this is great. You'll just be a indentured servant for Facebook. You'll work for them, but you'll also pay them for your rent. You'll also buy things from them. In reality, you'll own nothing. You'll also, by the way, have no privacy. Like, I wonder what Facebook town is like. Just constant surveillance, constant reminders, people knocking on your door to discuss how wrong you are about the private discussions you're having in your own home. You'll have mobs of insane wine ants stumbling down the street, yelling about Black Lives Matter. It'll be hell. It'll be hell on earth, folks, but they're doing it in California. Signature Development Group and Facebook are behind the proposed plans for the new Willow Park City. And a single-use industrial warehouse complex currently stands. See, it's great because we used to have industry. We used to make things. Now all of the old, dilapidated skeletons of the buildings that once were the furnaces of American ingenuity and prosperity are now being converted into, you know, rooms for you to live in. Maybe there will be suicide nets underneath. We'll just go the full Chinese slave factory style, except we won't actually make anything. What you'll be doing is living like a bug in your hole, in your tube, eating bugs, eating dirt, eating chemical burgers, and then going to your work where you patrol and police the language of Americans in order to stop them from criticizing your bug-like existence that you're attempting to export on the rest of the world. You absolutely despicable hellions. Haiti assassination, two Americans arrested alongside 15 Colombians in the president's killing. Police say the gang that killed Haiti's president included 26 Colombians and two Haitian Americans. Haitian police identified James Salagas and Joseph Vincent as two U.S. citizens suspected in the assassination plot. Both are of Haitian descent and are among 17 suspects detained in the killing of President Jovenel Moise. The rest of the detained, dead, and at-large suspects are Colombian nationals, according to police officials. So it's probably Colombian drug gangs, which is to say the American intelligence agency, because they are literally one and the same. Finally, we have this from Canada. Unvaccinated tourists won't be welcome in Canada for, quote, quite a while, PM Trudeau says. Amid calls to present a comprehensive border reopening plan before thinking about calling a federal election, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that it's going to be quite a while yet before Canada is ready to welcome any tourists who are unvaccinated. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't go to Canada, guys. Oh, no. I can't go to Canada to see the snow. I don't know. Why would I want to go to Canada? Actually, now that I think about it, who cares? Now that I'm really, you know, putting my mind to it. I never wanted to go to Canada in the first place. So great. You know, you'll just the unvaccinated will just be prisoners in their own country. It'll be great. You know, if you're vaccinated, you'll get to go to Canada. If you work for a big company, you'll get to bypass any quarantine situation. See, they're setting up a stratification throughout all of the human population, which says if you are a servant of them, if you do as they say, if you adhere to the dictates of the unelected cabal that runs the global government, you will be rewarded with the ability to do things like visit a stupid country that's worthless. But if you don't go along with it, you'll be barred. You'll be imprisoned. You'll be a slave to your own nation. You'll be tied there. You won't be able to go anywhere. You know, it's interesting because back in the Middle Ages, peasants were tied to the land. You know, they were sort of servants. The peasants, the serfs were actually tied to the land, and they needed permission from their king or their lord in order to travel to a different place, which really goes in line with the idea that the Great Reset is, in fact, nothing more than neo-feudalism. You are a serf, you are a slave, and unless you adhere to their death shot and completely unscientific dictates, you'll remain where you belong.
What are champions made of?
Here's a man who can show you.
Triple eight two five three thirty one three nine. Is the InfoWars store hotline. 888-253-3139 is the InfoWars store hotline. 888-253-3139 is the InfoWars store hotline. 888-253-3139 is the InfoWars store. 888-253-3139 is the InfoWars store. InfoWarsStore.com is simply the best. InfoWarsStore.com beats out all the rest. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139 is the InfoWarsStore hotline. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsStore.com.
I never had a marketing plan for InfoWars. I went out and found the best products I could find from the research to fund our operation. I wanted you to get products that empowered you, that you loved, so you'd want to come back and buy more. I treat you like I want to be treated. It's very, very simple. It's instinctive. It's spiritual. It's what I do. And that said, our iodine products have become our best sellers. And X2 right now is discounted because listeners and viewers are habituated to only buy it when it's on sale. And so I'm in a catch-22. When I don't have it on sale, I don't sell it. But we're selling out of all our other products because of supply chain breakdowns, and so I'm in a catch-22. I need to sell products at full price, but I can't. I got to sell them at discount. And so it's discounted 40% off for the dropper bottle, 60% off for the spray bottle, even though it's about to sell out. It won't be available for months, so get it. X2 is selling out at InfoWarsStore.com for 40 and 60% off with double Patriot points and free shipping. Because why? That's when you buy it. We need your funds or we'll be off air. It's an amazing product.
Bioremediation is a process used to treat contaminating water, soil, and subsurface material by accelerating naturally occurring environmental conditions to stimulate growth of microorganisms and degrade targeted pollutants. For the first time, the BioPros are bringing to the public market a suite of bioremediation products to the everyday consumer. Their first product they are launching is called BioSeptic Pro, a product specifically designed to establish a healthy septic system. BioSeptic Pro contains live microorganisms, not traditional enzymes like its competitors. This stuff lives in your septic system. It's really like probiotics for your septic tank and is at least 100 times more effective than similar microbial products due to its revolutionary patented delivery system. BioSeptic Pro contains no chemical ingredients and no genetically modified organisms. Visit thebiopros.com today and protect your septic system. That's thebiopros.com.
This is for anaerobic septic tanks, and the job it does is unparalleled.
thebiopros.com.
We know that the satanic principalities of this planet want us poisoned. They want to attack our bodies. They want to kill us because we're made in the image of God. But God gave us the components of our cells, of our bodies to be strong. We've got everything we need. That's why the globalists hit us with the bad halogens of fluoride, fluorine, bromide, you name it, instead of iodine. Our food, our water, our plants, everything we eat is deficient in it. The average person is deficient, and it attacks your IQ, it attacks your stamina and your libido and fertility particularly. Look into it. We have the purest iodine you're going to find anywhere on the planet in X2, and it's discounted right now with free shipping for 40% off in the dropper bottle. We have it for 60% off in the spray bottle. It's the exact same formula, but I want you to experience it for yourself. If you've been on the fence about iodine, this is the best. Try it today. It takes about 15 days to kick in. It's exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and it funds the InfoWar. Only way you fail is not taking action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's American Journal, InfoWars.com, band.video. My Lord, I have so much to cover today. My goodness. We got Joe Biden, just his brain just breaking while he's trying to make an announcement about Afghanistan. We've got a lot of stories about vaccine reactions. We've got stories about church burnings and some follow-ups to the gay chorus telling you they're coming for your children. All sorts of stuff to talk about. I just, you know, I'm just looking at this video list here. And, you know, if you're a regular viewer of the show, you know I love New York. You know I got lots of love for my brothers from New York. Sort of ironically, right? I mean, I actually do like the city. I've spent a lot of time there, and it's there really is something special about New York City. The size, the energy. I mean, I don't know about now. Now it's probably a ghost town, you know, full of rats. But back then, it used to be, you know, a lively, happening place full of rats. And it's great. It's fun. It's exciting. The food is wonderful. There's always something going on. The women are beautiful. I mean, it's a cool place. It's also a dumpster. It's also a dumpster full of bugs. And, you know, I always I just always laugh. One of the funniest things ever. Owen and I were at the Women's March in Washington, D.C., and we're talking to a woman who said something about transgenderism, and Owen said something about transgenderism, and the woman said, "Oh, honey, you wouldn't understand. I'm from New York." Right, and we just kept laughing, going, "You wouldn't understand. I'm from a dumpster. I live in a dumpster with bugs. You wouldn't understand what it's like to live in a dumpster with us." And so now, now you have New York flooding and the subway totally flooding. And so you have, let's go to clip number six, number 26 here, because what you're seeing is people passing through the subway tunnel, and the way that they are avoiding getting wet is they are dressing themselves in trash bags. They are putting themselves into trash bags in order to wade through the city. So it's like, not only is New York a dumpster, they're literally, you have to wear trash bags if you want to move around there now. I just think that is iconic, really. It's just a perfect metaphor that if you're gonna live in the dumpster, you gotta wear a trash bag. You have to literally look and feel and be stored in a plastic bag like the trash you are in the dumpster in which you live. Just incredible. Incredible this is happening. And maybe people aren't picking up on this, but we do understand that this is happening at an insanely rapid rate, right? We understand there is a massive influx of this, you know, quote unquote, natural disaster type occurrences happening all across the country. California in drought. Detroit last week had some line explode and flooded their entire like highway system. New York now is flooding. I mean, this is happening at a huge rate. The question is it natural? Is this normal? My argument would be no, it's not. There is literal weather warfare going on right now between the secret programs of the Chinese and the Americans. HAARP is back online. We know that as of a few months ago. And today, the World Economic Forum is holding the Cyber Polygon Simulation Exercise. Begins today, July 9th. Let's go to clip number 22 for a little refresher as to what exactly is Cyber Polygon and why the literal supervillains at the World Economic Forum are holding this little event. Here's clip number 22. It's the John Hopkins Center for Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation hosted Event 201, a high-level pandemic exercise on October 18th, 2020. Remember this, or 2019 actually, I believe it was. Event 201, where they rehearsed and planned out the reaction to a sudden coronavirus outbreak from Wuhan, China, in which they practiced nothing about actually preventing the virus spread, but how to control the language around it. On average, the WHO responds to 200 epidemic events per year.
Healthy-looking pigs, months, perhaps years ago, a new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died.
COVID-19 was first reported from Wuhan, China on the 31st of December 2019, only 73 days after the pandemic exercise. On July 9th, 2021, the World Economic Forum will host Cyber Polygon. During the technical exercise, participants will hone their practical skills in mitigating target supply chain attacks and corporate ecosystem warfare. Here we see the WEF forum discussing Cyber Polygon.
You have also big risks, which we have alerted to in our risk report, like a cyber attack.
A very warm welcome to everyone to this special on averting a cyber pandemic. This is the fourth day of the Davos Virtual Week. During this session, we will discuss how the COVID-19 pandemic dramatically increased the dependence of economies and societies on digital technology, increased the vulnerabilities of individuals, businesses, and governments. And the goal is to examine the lessons of this pandemic and identify steps to prepare for a better future global response to cyber attacks.
Prepare accordingly. Yes, folks, in exactly the same way that they seemingly perfectly predicted the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine, which ironically, you know, coincidentally enough, these exact people were involved in the creation of. Very interesting how that works out. Well, they're now warning about the cyber pandemic. And we've seen warnings about this from across the entire superstructure of the New World Order. And this sparked a memory in me, because I'm sure we all remember the scenarios for the future of technology and international development. That's the official name of the so-called lockstep scenario document produced by the Rockefeller Foundation and the Global Business Network and Peter Schwartz. And I wonder how many people actually read this. How many people actually downloaded this document and read through it fully? Probably not that many. A lot of people probably just went to places like InfoWars and found the write-ups on it. They found the individual pages that related to the so-called lockstep event. There's a lot more in here. And so when I started hearing about Cyber Polygon, when I started hearing about cyber attacks and all of these concerns, it sparked a memory in me. And that's a memory of one of the other scenarios from this document. See, they have one scenario called lockstep, which is what we are all familiar with. They have three other scenarios. One is called Clever Together. One is called Smart Scramble. But the one we are interested in is called Hack Attack. Now, Hack Attack is all about cyber warfare. And it's about what the world would look like once cyber criminals get a hold of the levers of power. And it will amaze you to hear what precedes the hack attack in this document, what they're suggesting happens as we move forward. So we'll get to that in just a second. But first, I want to, you know, in revisiting this document, remind you about who these people are and what their goals are. Okay? They say things like this. The Rockefeller Foundation supports work that expands opportunity and strengthens resilience to social, economic, health, and environmental challenges, affirming its pioneering philanthropic mission since 1913 to promote the well-being of humanity. And you see this word over and over again, philanthropy, philanthropy, philanthropy. What they mean by philanthropy is something beyond NGOs, something beyond governmental or institutional control. Philanthropy is their code word for the international billionaire community manipulating markets and people to achieve their will. And their will is collectivism. That's all it is. You can call it communism. You can call it corporatism. Whatever you want to call it, their belief is the bigger, the better. The bigger institution, the better. The bigger the government, the better. They don't want decentralized. They don't want independent. They want controlled and dominated.
Iodine is one of the most important drivers in the body for fertility, for cellular function, for libido, for life. If you don't have iodine, you die in a matter of months. So if you don't have oxygen, you die in 4 minutes. If you don't have water, you die in a week or so. If you don't have food, a month or so. But what's in that food? Iodine. But if your food doesn't have that atomic pure iodine, it can't operate. And the food itself is lacking. That's why most people on Earth are deficient in iodine. And governments are lowering the allowance you're supposed to need to have because they want control. Ladies and gentlemen, our information is powerful. Our products are just as powerful. Experience clean iodine today. It's discounted. 40% off of the dropper bottle, 60% off of the spray bottle. You take it to your mouth. Pure atomic iodine with free shipping, double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't wait any longer. Just like our information is powerful, our products are just as powerful. They don't want you to experience this. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. Take action. Find out what you're missing. Get the missing link. Get X2.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
InfoWars has been banned, arrested, attacked, and threatened because we are effective. Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video, download the videos, and share.
Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
InfoWars.com.
The globalists are having their revolution, but free humanity has to have its revolution. We have to first recognize this anti-human takeovers trying to enslave the entire biological processes of humans and turn us into these artificial, corporate, controlled slaves. Worse than slaves, just property from cradle to grave of the system, rendered down to be servile minions of the system in a ritual of dominance and satanic control. We have to recognize their great reset post-industrial world that realizes a nightmare dystopia, and we have to promote liberty and freedom that is the opposite of their dystopia. It's that choice, it's that realization that's going to change the world. And it's the only choice we've got, freedom or slavery, good or evil. It is a spiritual battle, and InfoWars is at the tip of the spear fighting it.
The world is awakening. The world is beginning to understand the globalist paradigm. They are discovering the globalist, the elites, the manipulation, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Bohemian Grove, the Club of Rome. And so, even though it seems like the globalists are winning, the truth is they've had to come out in the open to attack human freedom because they're actually losing. We have forced them out in the open. So as bad as these times are, and a lot of negative things are about to happen, realize humanity is winning. You've got to trust in the plan of God and trust in the plan of God's justice. That is invincible. That is ethereal, timeless, and unstoppable. So don't trust in man. Trust in God to lead, God, and direct your soul, and then take action against the globalists. And realize you've got my commitment from Alex Jones and my crew to you. We will never back down from the globalists, and we will never surrender.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
As we speak, ladies and gentlemen, the most powerful and corrupt people on planet Earth are meeting in Sun Valley, Idaho. The likes of Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and all of the other typical names that you recognize, they're coming together to coordinate, plan, and determine cooperation on how to move forward with their goal of global corporate control. At the very same time, the World Economic Forum has just launched today the Cyber Polygon Scenario Planning Operation. The project is part of the World Economic Forum's Center for Cybersecurity Platform Digitalization is accelerating everywhere. New digital ecosystems are forming all around us, creating unnoticed linkages across services and supply chains. As the world grows more interconnected, the speed of development makes it difficult to assess the impact of change. Cyber Polygon is a unique cybersecurity event that combines the world's largest technical training exercises for corporate teams, an online conference featuring senior officials from international organizations and leading corporations. So again, just like Event 201, this is a group of the most powerful people in the world, the head of the most powerful institutions, corporations, and governments, coming together to coordinate their response to an upcoming event, be it a pandemic or a cyber attack pandemic. WEF warns of cyber attack leading to systemic collapse of the global financial system. The National Guard just simulated a cyber attack that brought down utilities nationwide. The American cyber Stasi will suppress all digital dissent in Biden's utopia. U.S. mulling military response to ransomware attacks. Consumer Secretary Raimondo says cyber attacks are here to stay and will intensify. These are all headlines from just the last month or so. So what has brought this all about? Well, folks, they're moving in to that second scenario that we discussed in addition to the lockstep document. Now, again, returning to this document, the scenario for the future of technology and international development, we can see once again what their real goal is. First of all, they say these scenarios that they're planning, they're not predictions. No, they're not predicting anything. They say scenarios are not predictions. Rather, they're thoughtful hypotheses that allow us to imagine and then rehearse different strategies for how to be more prepared for the future, or, more ambitiously, how to shape a better future ourselves. So they lay it out there. These scenarios that they're writing, remember, this was written, I believe, in 2010 and projected in the future 20 years. So we're literally halfway through their projected future here in the scenarios planning document. But what they're saying is they are putting forward these scenarios so that they can all be on the same page when they happen. They can all be working together to bring about the vision of the world that they want as a result of these catastrophes that they cause. It's not that complicated. In fact, it says this problem-solving approach seeks to identify potential systematic intervention opportunities. I have these nice little words, intervention opportunities, right? Choke points, takeover locations, right? Places that they can capture to then carry out total control. And they say this, a note on terminology. The foundation's work promotes, quote, resilience and equitable growth. Resilience refers to the capacity of individuals, communities, and systems to survive, adapt, and grow in the face of changes, even catastrophic incidents. Equitable growth, they say, involves enabling individuals, communities, and institutions to access new tools, practices, resources, and products. So again, equitable growth and so-called resilience. Now, what they mean by resilience is essentially centralization. That's what they want. And they make a note to differentiate philanthropies from nonprofits in this, by the way. They say they're identifying potential areas for future work for governments, philanthropies, corporations, and nonprofits, and that they illuminate choices and commitments that a wide range of organizations may want to make in these areas in the future. Again, this is all about coordinating the massive decentralized pyramid-shaped structures of corporate, non-governmental, and governmental organizations. And say they say that some things are just happening whether we like them or not. Things like the rise of China and India, a multipolar global system emerging, global population growth, putting pressure on energy, food, and water resources. The world will strive to source more of its energy from renewable resources and may succeed. See, there's once again putting these things down as a certainty, even though they're the ones causing them. They're the ones who have moved manufacturing to China. They're the ones who are causing the destruction of America and causing the world to go to a multi-polar organization setup. They're the ones causing all of this. And they have a pair of axes, one starting in strong and going to weak, and that's the political economic alignment. And the other is adaptive capacity, and that goes from low to high. And again, once again, their assumption is that adaptive capacity is determined by the size and scale of your organization. Therefore, Walmart, they say, has a high adaptive capacity, whereas your local mom and pop store has a low adaptive capacity. Therefore, in their reading, mom and pop stores are bad. Walmart is good because it can adapt to the changes effectively. High levels of adaptive capacity are typically achieved through the existence of trust in society, the presence and tolerance of novelty and diversity, the strength, variety, and overlap of human institutions. So again, these are the assumptions that they are working on, that they are working towards. And again, they say, on one end of the axis, in terms of global political and economic alignment, we would see more integrated global economy with high trade volumes. We'd see more cooperation at the supranational level, fostering increased collaboration, strengthened global institutions, and the formation of effective international problem-solving networks. On the other axis endpoint, the potential for economic development in the developing world is reduced by the fragility of the overall global economy, coupled with protectionism and fragmentation of trade, thereby hindering agreement on and implementation of large-scale interconnected solutions to pressing global challenges. Again, it's here in black and white. What they're telling you is that they think that globalist institutions with worldwide reach are good. Like, it's as simple as that. There's like the more interconnected and the more global our institutions, the better they are. And you can see it here as they lay these two different axes on top of each other perpendicularly. You see basically hack attack down here is where it's low and weak. In other words, low adaptive capacity, meaning decentralized, small scale, independent, versus, you know, clever together, which is where you'd have massive institutions, massive corporations, massive non-governmental organizations all coordinating with each other to bring about the change they want to see. Lockstep would be high political and economic alignment, strong in that regard. In other words, strong global cooperation between these organizations, but low adaptive capacity, meaning that it's still somewhat decentralized. So lockstep is the one that most people paid attention to. But we're going to skip right past lockstep now. We're going to skip right past clever together, and we're going to go to this scenario of the utmost importance today, as we have the billionaire summer camp in Idaho in coordination with the cyber attack, cyber polygon warfare event. Let's just read what they say, okay? This is their scenario. It's projecting into the future back from 2010. They say this: devastating shocks like the September 11th and Southeast Asian tsunami of 2004 and the 2010 Haiti earthquake had certainly primed the world for sudden disasters, but no one was prepared for a world in which large-scale catastrophes would occur at such breathtaking frequency. 2012, they say there was an Olympic bombing. So, hey, maybe we can expect an Olympic bombing here in 2021 instead, there in Japan, as we prepare to open up the Summer Games. Not surprisingly, the opening series of deadly asynchronous catastrophes put enormous pressure on the already overstressed global economy that had entered the decade still in recession. So again, these guys are just so good at predicting. Somehow they know that right before this cyber polygon meeting, we're going to have a massive number of catastrophes. Let's just think about, off the top of my head, the last few months. The Eye of Satan opened up as a oil rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico. A building fell down in Miami. Another building fell down in D.C. and another one fell down in New York City. All these within the last few weeks. You have flooding in Detroit. You have a big freeze in Texas. You have droughts and wildfires and heats that are unheard of with the heat bubble in Oregon, in the Northwest Pacific, even into Canada. You have the oil rig exploding in Azerbaijan, that massive, massive explosion on the horizon that was captured by so many videos. You have massive mudslides in Japan taking out entire cities. I mean, it just goes on and on and on in just the last few months. And people are noticing. They're like, is this just the world we live in now, where just buildings fall over on a daily basis, where every day we wake up to some new destructive force? Well, folks, it's all been predicted. It has all been foretold. It is all being very well organized. In 2015, they say, the U.S. reallocated a large share of its defense spending to domestic concerns, pulling out of Afghanistan, where the resurgent Taliban seized power once again. Hey, isn't that incredible? Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange that instead of 2015, in 2021, the U.S. has relocated a large share of its defense spending to domestic concerns? And it is pulling out of Afghanistan, and the resurgent Taliban is seizing power once again. Isn't it amazing how all of these things are coming together exactly as planned in this Rockefeller document? They say resource scarcities and trade disputes, together with severe economic and climate stresses, push many alliances and partnerships to the breaking point. They also sparked proxy wars and low-level conflicts in resource-rich parts of the developing world. Hey, that's going on too. Isn't that exciting? We'll continue this in the next 5 minutes as we continue to go through this predictive document.
Gerald in South Carolina. Go ahead, you're on the air. Trying to move quicker.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome.
Would like to say, first off, thanks for being the voice of reason in amongst all this stupidity. Wanted to warn people, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a year, okay? I'm a double amputee, and I have bacteria infection on my lung that'll never go away. Living Defense saved my life. They had me on antibiotics for 2 years that almost killed me. Living Defense brought me back. I wanted to just quote from the Bible, Jesus is saying, as to where we are right now. This is Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That's right where we're at, brother.
And that's because God's name is on the founding of this country, no matter what they say, and that's why the enemy hates it, because God created this country. So, we have free shipping, double Patriot points through this weekend, and our big loss leader is X2 in the dropper and in the spray bottle for 40 and 60% off, and your purchase funds the M4. But seriously, the UN admits 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of lack of iodine. You need to experience it for yourself. It takes 2 weeks to a month to kick in. Try it and tell me what you think. You can't lose. You're funding the M4. And again, I can harp on this all day, but just like our information is dead on from research, I'm telling you, I couldn't do what I do without Deep Earth Crystal Iodine and X2.
just in the stamina and mental focus area, it's incredible. What it did for libido is incredible. When I don't take it, I feel the difference. When I do take it, I'm so empowered. Get your X2 today, discounted in the spray bottle and in the eyedropper bottle to take under your tongue at InfoWarsStore.com. The globalists hope you don't explore how incredibly powerful deep earth crystal iodine is.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
So just like the lockstep document seemingly perfectly predicted the coronavirus outbreak and then the subsequent response, the next scenario in this exact same document called Hack Attack seemingly predicted the large-scale catastrophes that we've been seeing that have occurred in the last several months. It also seemingly predicted the relocation of defense spending from foreign terrorists to domestic terrorists, domestic concerns. It also predicted the pullout of Afghanistan and the resurgent Taliban, all of this happening simultaneously. Wow, incredible. These guys are so good at predicting stuff, aren't they? Isn't it amazing? That's not all they predicted. They also predict resource scarcity and trade disputes, together with severe economic and climate stresses, pushes many alliances and partnerships to the breaking point. They also spark proxy wars and low-level conflict in resource-rich parts of the developing world. They say violence and crime grew more rampant. Countries with ethnic, religious, or class division saw especially sharp spikes in hostility. Oh, how did they know? Gosh, how did they know that there would be a rise in violence and a rise in ethnic conflict here in America? It's almost like they're the ones behind it. Meanwhile, they say overtaxed military and police forces could do little to stop growing communities of criminals and terrorists from gaining power. Technology-enabled gangs and networked criminal enterprises exploited both the weakness of the states and the desperation of individuals. You know, kind of like how the cartels now are operating industrial-scale human trafficking networks using things like bracelets with QR codes on them to scan and mark and then continue on the trail, all of these different migrants. You know, it's almost like all of this is planned. Now, this is being presented as if this is it's just happening. It's just like, oh, no, we can't handle all of the crime. No, they're defunding the police. They're doing this on purpose. We could stop every single migrant from crossing the border today if we wanted. These are conscious choices that are being made to correspond with this prediction. These are not predictions that are then naturally occurring. These are predictions being put in place that are then being confirmed and brought about into reality by the decisions being made by the same people that read and adhere to these types of documents. In the context of weak health systems, corruption, and inattention to standards, whether within countries or from global bodies like the World Health Organization, tainted vaccines enter the public health systems of several African countries. In 2021, they say 600 children in Cote d'Ivoire died from a bogus hepatitis B vaccine, which paled in comparison to the scandal sparked by mass deaths from a tainted anti-malarial drug years later. The deaths and resulting scandals sharply affected public confidence in vaccine delivery. Wow, it's like they know how it's going to roll out. It's like, wow, these guys must be geniuses or something. They say, meanwhile, more sophisticated hackers attempt to take down corporations, government systems, and banks via phishing scams and database information heists, and many successes generated billions of dollars in losses. Kind of like the Colonial Pipeline, kind of like the hack attack that just hit $70 million in corporations, kind of like all the hack attacks that are coming. It's like, how did they know that we'd be leaving from Afghanistan, that crime would be out of control, that criminal organizations would be overpowering our border control? How did they know that all these catastrophes would be occurring one after another with strange weather effects going on? How did they know that this would coincide with cyber attacks? How do they know? Oh, man, they're just so smart, I guess. Wow, they're so smart. They just love patting themselves on the back. The heroic efforts of several companies and NGOs to create recognized seals of safety and approval proved ineffective when those seals were hacked. Yeah, see, the vaccine identity card can be faked, and they've already pre-planning on this 10 years ago. How did they know? But they say not all the hacking was bad. There's some good hacking in here, like the genetically modified crops and do-it-yourself biotech becoming backyard activities. The gap between rich and poor, they say, grew wider than ever. The rich still had the financial means to protect themselves. Gated communities sprung up from New York to Lagos, providing safe havens surrounded by slums. The wealthy also capitalized on a loose regulatory environment to experiment with advanced medical treatment and other under-the-radar activity, kind of like creating human-animal chimeras, something else that's happening this year in just the past few months. Isn't it incredible, folks, how good they are at predicting all of the things that they then carry out? Man, isn't it great having our entire world run by a cabal of unelected corporate billionaires?
We know that the satanic principalities of this planet want us poisoned. They want to attack our bodies. They want to kill us because we're made in the image of God. But God gave us the components of ourselves, of our bodies, to be strong. We've got everything we need. That's why the globalists hit us with the bad halogens of fluoride, fluorine, bromide, you name it, instead of iodine. Our food, our water, our plants, everything we eat is deficient in it. The average person is deficient, and it attacks your IQ, it attacks your stamina and your libido and fertility particularly. Look into it. We have the purest iodine you're going to find anywhere on the planet in X2, and it's discounted right now with free shipping for 40% off in the dropper bottle. We have it for 60% off in the spray bottle. It's the exact same formula, but I want you to experience it for yourself. If you've been on the fence about iodine, this is the best. Try it today. It takes about 15 days to kick in. It's exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and it funds the InfoWar. Only way you fail is not taking action.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Folks, continuing with this hack attack scenario that the Rockefeller Foundation 10 years ago somehow predicted everything that happened in the last few months. I mean, just down to the letter, it's really incredible how good they are at predicting the things that they bring about. But here's the key to understanding all of this, and we'll finish up with hack attack here and move on to some other more pressing matters, even though I'm not sure exactly what is more pressing than this. Let's read one of the quotes that they use to elucidate their thinking on this matter. And it begins with a very simple, clear, refutable statement. It is from Aidan Ayazuk, or Ayakuze, the Society for International Development of Tanzania. He says this, quote, "We have this love affair with strong central states, but that's not the only possibility. Technology is going to make it even more real for Africa. There's the same cell phone penetration rate in Somalia as in Rwanda. In that respect, Somalia works." That first sentence, "We have this love affair with strong central states." That's their central thesis, is that they have a love affair with strong central states. Their vision of the world is the more centralized, organized, and global it is, the better it is. It's as simple as that. It's black and white. If it's massive and controlled by a singular global corporation, it's good. If it's smaller, it's bad, from economic to familial structures, right? They literally, I mean, this is their entire philosophy, is like, they think, how much better is it to have a corporation like Walmart that is building things using slave factories in China, that's outsourcing its tech work to India, that's, poisoning and corrupting the groundwater in America by growing its crop, that it then uses massive polluting ships to send to China to be processed, to send back to America, all just polluting and causing destruction along its way. And then they dominate the American market and push out the small mom and pop stores. That, to these people, is the preferable situation. That's why we're in the situation we're in now, because these people, it's not a coincidence, not like, well, it just makes the most money. It does make the most money, but they're interested in it at a metaphysical level. That says not only does it make the most money, it does the most to put forward our ideology, which is centralization, control, domination. And you can read this, and not only when they say things like, we have a love affair with strong central states, which they obviously do, you can read it in what they see as negative, right? So hack attack is even worse than lockstep. I showed you that quadrant there in the document. Lockstep is in the upper left-hand quadrant, which means while, to the globalist, it's bad that it has low adaptability, it's good that it has high centralization and globalization. See, there it is. Now, obviously, the best is this one where it's all the multicolored hands holding up the globe. Yeah, real subtle there, right? That's what they see as good, strong and high, right? Hack attack is the opposite of that. This is what they see as bad. You want to hear what they think is bad? This is like It's like a horror story I'm about to read you. This is what the globalists tell each other around campfires to scare each other, okay? They say this. Those who couldn't buy their way out of chaos, which was most people, retreated to whatever safety they could find. With opportunity frozen and global mobility at a near standstill, hey, kind of like we are now. They're so good at predicting all the stuff that they bring about. It's amazing. Say, no places wanted more people, especially more poor people. It was often a retreat to the familiar, family ties, religious beliefs, or even national alliance. Ugh. Are you scared yet? The globalists are quaking in their boot. Family, religion, national alliance. They're literally like, this is the consequence of the world being destroyed. Like, they think that this is like the worst possible thing to have happened. Like, they're letting you know, in their mind, the stronger your familial, national, and religious ties are, the worse things are going for them. They're literally telling you this, right? They're saying, here's the worst possible scenario. The worst possible scenario is people are latching on to their family, their religion, and their nation. That's what they're telling you, okay? They say trust was afforded only to those who could guarantee safety and survival, whether it was a warlord, an evangelical preacher, or a mother. A mother. Can you imagine? Like, these globalists are just like, it's sickening. These people going back to their mothers for safety. They should come to us. We should be their mother. We should be their religion. We should be their national alliance. We're in charge. And how bad would things be if instead they turned to each other? They were decentralized. They were independent. They had their own security. No, they must rely on us for security. They must come to us for mother's milk. And it's just horrific, right? In other areas, people manage to create more resilient communities operating as isolated microversions of formerly large-scale systems. Oh, horrible, right? Can you imagine? Small towns, independent living, you know, creating things yourself, manufacturing, decentralized, you know, not massive global trade, sending things across the ocean, you know, building things with slave factories in China. What if things were actually just made at home? Oh, God, it's terrible, right? Like, that's how these people think. It's despicable, but this is what it's all about. All right? The weakening of national governments also enabled grassroots movements to form and grow. Ugh, oh, no, terrible. Just terrible. So then we get to the point of all of this, right? The point of all of this is that they're telling their followers and their adherence to this religion, the ones now holed up in Idaho, scheming and planning and plotting and conniving, same ones that are now coordinating together to the cyber polygon hack attack scenario that they were nice enough to publish for us 10 years ago. These people are all organizing through documents like this in order to cooperate together on the response. Instead of something happening and then they have to get together and figure out what they're going to do, they have these scenario planning, so they announce to people, here's what's going to happen. Here's what it's going to look like. Here are the signs that you need to recognize to understand that this is happening. And here's what you need to do to contribute to our takeover. This is literally what this document is saying. That's the purpose of it. And here's what they say. The role of philanthropy in hack attack. Oh, yes, that wonderful word, philanthropy. They say philanthropy is less about affecting change and about promoting stability and addressing basic survival needs. Philanthropic organizations move to support urgent humanitarian efforts at the grassroots levels, including doing guerrilla philanthropy, identifying the hackers and innovators who are catalysts of change in local settings, yet identifying pro-social entrepreneurship or entrepreneurs is a challenge because verification is difficult amid so much scamming and deception. In other words, identify the local grassroots organizations like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and fund those and co-opt those into our organizations, into our plan, so they contribute to us rather than build grassroots networks against us. They say the operational model in this world is a fortress model in which philanthropic organizations coalesce into a strong single unit to combat fraud and lack of trust. Philanthropy's greatest assets are their reputation, brand, and legal financial capacity to ward off threats and attempts at destabilization. They also pursue a less global approach, retreating to doing work in their home countries for a few countries that they know well and perceive as being safe. But again, the most important part of this is that they are now moving into a fortress model in which philanthropic organizations coalesce into a strong single unit to combat fraud. So again, what are they doing? they're coalescing. And it's not just philanthropic organizations, because that, again, is just a lie. It's just a magic word they use to describe the network of billionaires that are using their insane influence in the economic realm to bring about total control and globalization. That's what they're telling you. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading to you what they're saying, and I'm helping to translate it by defining the vocabulary that they use. In a world of trade disputes and resource scarcities, how did they know resources were going to be scarce? How did they know things were going to collapse? How did they know resources were going to be scarce? How did they know there were going to be supply chain things? In fact, they even say here that, you know, in this hack attack world, on-time flights were rare these days. How did they know? How did they know that flights would start being canceled and start not being on time? How did they know that airplanes would start falling out of the sky, like the FedEx airplane in Hawaii, or the Russian airplane that killed 82, or the other one in Indonesia, I think, that killed 28, all of these in the last week? How did they know all of this would happen all at once? How did they know 10 years ago? Isn't it amazing? Aren't they geniuses? Of course not. It's all planned. It's all organized. They even go so far as to say new threats like weaponized biological pathogens and destructive botnets dominate public attention. They know exactly what's going on, and they know exactly how to deal with it by enslaving you. It's pretty simple.
I preach about the dangers of cell phones all day long because they're supercomputers controlled by big tech that are spying on us everywhere we go and what we do. But because they have great cameras and great recording systems and great ways to communicate, I still have one because this Trojan horse, this Promethean fire, has a lot of power. But when I'm not using it, I lock it up in a high-quality Faraday cage, a privacy pocket, at InfoWarsStore.com. We finally got them back in stock, the highest rated. They fit almost all types of Androids and iPhones. It 50% off, $14.95. They sell these babies for $29.95 all day long. We've got a private label with InfoWars on them for $14.95 because I want you to get them, and I want you to buy friends and family these systems to educate them about what these, quote, smartphones really are. This is a great way to limit your phone time use. It's a great way to spend more time with your family, and it's a great way to know you're not being tracked by the criminal globalist system. They're 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's time to show them what a real alpha male looks like with one of our most powerful products ever made, Alpha Power. As you age, your body can lose testosterone over time. With the incredible ingredients in this formula, we can help you beat the test of time and assist in restoring that lost energy and mood that comes with time and age. Alpha Power's incredible ingredients can help you boost your sports performance or enhance your day-to-day life with ease while encouraging hormonal balance. Perfect by itself or with super male vitality in the true alpha male pack. Alpha Power can help boost performance, help maintain normal testosterone levels, support healthy cholesterol, and more. Let Alpha Power help bring you to the peak of your optimal health. Don't fall short on energy in the fight against tyranny. Show the world what a true alpha male looks like today with Alpha Power. Head to InfoWarsStore.com today.
Granny Do Right. Granny Do Right. Thanks for holding her on the air. Go ahead.
Challenge. First of all, let me say I love your products. I am a granny, and for all the senior citizens out there that may have spent a lifetime in the sun like me, I was loaded up with sunspots, or age spots, as they're lovingly called. But since taking your X2 for the last couple of years, my skin is just really gorgeous, actually. People think I'm 55 years old. And I was already taking your other supplements, but I thought, you know, well, maybe that's what I need to do, because I just thought it was a hopeless situation. But when I started taking it, I mean, it doesn't happen immediately, but, you know, over a period of time, I started noticing, okay, you know, this is a ticket. This is working. This is wonderful. You know, I don't I don't have to put on Dermablend anymore, you know. So anyway, it worked wonderfully, and it really has totally cleared up my skin.
I never had a marketing plan for InfoWars. I went out and found the best products I could find from the research to fund our operation. I wanted you to get products that empowered you, that you loved, so you'd want to come back and buy more. I treat you like I want to be treated. It's very, very simple. It's instinctive. It's spiritual. It's what I do. And that said, our iodine products have become our best sellers. And X2 right now is discounted because listeners and viewers are habituated to only buy it when it's on sale. And so I'm in a catch-22. When I don't have it on sale, I don't sell it. But we're selling out of all other products because of supply chain breakdowns. And so I'm in a catch-22. I need to sell products at full price, but I can't. I got to sell them at discount. And so it's discounted 40% off for the dropper bottle, 60% off for the spray bottle, even though it's about to sell out. It won't be available for months. So get it. X2 is selling out at InfoWarsStore.com for 40 and 60% off with double Patriot points and free shipping. Because why? That's when you buy it. We need your funds or we'll be off air. It's an amazing product.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is American Journal. Harrison Smith. You can support us at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, my wife and my baby have had a bit of a cold. They caught it from their cousin last week, and they've had the sniffles, and they've had a little cough. Don't worry, it's not the Delta Lambda variant. Don't worry about that. Just a little cold, just a little, normal cold. But I haven't gotten sick. I've been, trying to take care of them after work for the past week or so, and I still haven't gotten sick. And I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that I have these three wonderful pills behind my desk that I take during the commercial breaks every single day. I wonder if that's what it is. I don't know, but I think that may have something to do with it. Because why else? I mean, I'm not necessarily the most healthy individual, but how can I live with two people next to a house with four people who are sick, interact with them on a daily basis, and never get sick? Maybe it's because my immune system has been fortified by our supplements from InfoWarsStore.com. You know, looking at this Rockefeller document and just thinking about America and where we are and where we're going, I mean, all I picture is just like, you know, some bald, sagging billionaire with his hands around the Statue of Liberty's neck going, look, the American dream is dead. The American dream is dead, okay? It's dead. And it's like, she's not dead. You're killing her. She's still fighting. And he's like, nah, the American dream is dead, man. It's totally dead at this point. And it's like, no, she's still fighting. She's scratching at your face. You're killing her. You're doing your best to kill the American dream as hard as you possibly can. But it's not dead yet. And we can still fight back. And how utterly devious of you to act like it's already a foregone conclusion. Because it's not. It's really not. We still are able to fight back. What is the American dream? I think we all know what it is. Big house, two-car garage, father goes to work, mother stays home, you know your neighbors, get together in the backyard and grill and toss the football. You're able to survive on a 40-hour work week in a family of four, can own a house on that type of budget. I mean, that's the American dream. It's ownership, it's property, it's family, it's responsibility, it's civic duty. It's all the things that are being ripped away from us right now, that are being systematically driven from our entire society, whether it's by BlackRock, preventing people from buying homes, by buying them up by insane amounts, or Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum basically taking over governments around the world. I mean, Joe Biden tweeted out yesterday, Build Back Better. That is literally the Great Reset World Economic Forum slogan. They're going along with it. So let's take a look at what the world that they are creating for us looks like, shall we? We return once again to the dumpster of the North, New York City. We're going to see what it's like to be a current citizen there. We're going to clip number 11. Here's a little tour of one of our bug-like compatriots showing off his wonderful, futuristic, New World Order, World Economic Forum, Great Reset, neo-feudal living situation. Let's see it.
Hey, so I just moved into a mansion in New York City that I'm
renting
rent on with 15 other entrepreneurs that I met online.
Entrepreneurs!
And I'm not sure how well this video will do, but I just...
Oh, it's going to do real well.
I wanted to show you like a little window into our crazy lifestyle.
Yeah, so I'm like an ant. I'm going to show off my ant pile.
You can't quite see the penthouse, but it's a four-story brownstone.
Ooh, a four-story brownstone? How glamorous.
Floor here. And co-working space.
You gotta full screen this. We gotta see the full thing here. We gotta get the real.
I think what perhaps is the most funny is that this closet here has been converted into a room for show.
Yeah, that's where Harry Potter lives.
I'm like Harry Potter. I live in a closet. It's so cool.
Don't have that many bedrooms for all 16 of us.
16 people. 16 people living like bugs on top of each other and under the stairs.
And Donna sleeps here, so three people in this room.
These people probably pay $600 a month.
Doesn't look horrible right now, but we got a security camera.
Oh, they got a security
camera. Room.
Constant surveillance, too. Good.
And
in their kitchen.
Is over there. So another triple.
So no privacy, no ownership, right?
Riley sleeps in this, like, 4-foot space.
Using a painter ladder. I sleep in a big bed with my wife. It's like that Simpsons episode
with the
divorced guy is living in this sad little apartment. He's like, I have a race car bed. Do you have a race car bed? And Homer's like, I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
This is the Emma and Georgie room. Extra beds.
Extra beds on the, like, up on the roof.
Central USA. And then here's our little movie theater turned into a triple.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a really nice movie theater, but in order to be able to afford it, we had to turn it into a bunch of rooms for bugs to live.
And here is the outdoor area.
Wow, look at the outdoor area.
We get a nice little spot.
Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful
view. Beautiful view of the decrepit brick walls, and it just ends. They're like, we play cards outside. Jimmy, you owe $1,000 for rent. Your $1,000 rent check is overdue. Get out of the closet and pay it, Jimmy. Yeah, I live in a big bed with my wife. My infant son has his own room and a playroom. And I have my own study. And I have a living room where I keep all of my cool stuff. I have a big yard. It's like over half an acre. It's amazing. It's incredible. You know, I grant it, I'm not living in a dumpster with 16 other weirdos. I'm not sharing a shower with 10 other, you know, gross young adults who I probably don't like and probably don't have the best hygiene, right? Like, I have privacy. My walls in my room actually are fully, like, door-to-ceiling walls. Like, I'm not separated from four or five other people while I'm sleeping by a curtain. It's really incredible. The luxury that I'm able to still live in by, you know, not living in New York and not calling myself an entrepreneur. When they say entrepreneur, they mean they're on welfare. You know that, right? They mean they don't actually make any money. They don't actually create any stuff. They live off the government and, you know, have a SoundCloud rap album or something. These people are not entrepreneurs. They're not creating anything. They're not creative or anything of the sort. They live as dependents of the government or their parents. They live on top of each other in a sty. They're creating nothing. They're owning nothing. It probably costs them more on a daily basis to exist than it does anywhere else in the world, except at the end of their little excursion, they'll move back to wherever they came from. They'll, you know, give up and return from whence they came, and they'll have nothing to show for it, except for several years wasted in a drug and alcohol haze. And they get to say they're like Harry Potter because they live in a cupboard under the stairs. So congratulations, bug people. You are fully indoctrinated now into believing that your servitude is freedom. That your ability to, you know, smoke weed in your bedroom with the nine other people that sleep there is somehow freedom and good and progressive and expansive. And you all sit around in your little patio. That's literally smaller than, like, my driveway. And you just exist. You just live. You just are twiddling your thumbs, running out the clock. You'll never have children. You'll never own a house. You'll never have a good job. You'll live as government dependents and pretend wizards until you die. Thank you. From Klaus Schwab, he says thank you.
Iodine is one of the most important drivers in the body for fertility, for cellular function, for libido, for life. If you don't have iodine, you die in a matter of months. So if you don't have oxygen, you die in 4 minutes. If you don't have water, you die in a week or so. If you don't have food, a month or so. But what's in that food? Iodine. But if your food doesn't have that atomic pure iodine, it can't operate. And the food itself is lacking. That's why most people on Earth are deficient in iodine. And governments are lowering the allowance you're supposedly need to have because they want control. Ladies and gentlemen, our information is powerful. Our products are just as powerful. Experience clean iodine today. It's discounted. 40% off of the dropper bottle, 60% off of the spray bottle. You take it to your mouth. Pure atomic iodine with free shipping, double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't wait any longer. Just like our information is powerful, our products are just as powerful. They don't want you to experience this. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. Take action. Find out what you're missing. Get the missing link. Get X2.
What are champions made of? Here's a man who can show you.
InfoWarsStore.com is simply the best. InfoWarsStore.com beats out all the rest. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139 is the InfoWarsStore hotline. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsStore.com.
So, we have free shipping, double Patriot points through this weekend, and our big loss leader is X2 in the dropper and in the spray bottle for 40 and 60% off, and your purchase funds the M4. But seriously, the UN admits 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of lack of iodine. You need to experience it for yourself. It takes 2 weeks to a month to kick in. Try it and tell me what you think. You can't lose. You're funding the InfoWar. And again, I can harp on this all day, but just like our information is dead on from research, I'm telling you, I couldn't do what I do without Deep Earth Crystal Iodine and X2. Just in the stamina and mental focus area, it's incredible. What it did for libido is incredible. When I don't take it, I feel the difference. When I do take it, I'm so empowered. Get your X2 today, discounted in the spray bottle and in the eyedropper bottle to take under your tongue at InfoWarsStore.com. The globalists hope you don't explore how incredibly powerful Deep Earth Crystal Iodine is.
All of the experts agree that getting proper sleep is the cornerstone of good health. It has been proven that a poor sleep schedule is linked with numerous health problems, including weight gain, memory issues, mood changes, poor concentration, and even a weakened immune system. Introducing Rocket Rest, the new product from our Dr. Jones Naturals line at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Rocket Rest formula is loaded with the best natural ingredients to help not only improve your quality of sleep, but help you wake up feeling refreshed. Many competitors' sleep formulas focus only on getting you to sleep, but Rocket Rest was specifically formulated to help you feel rested and ready to take on the next day. It uses a unique quick-release capsule system to ensure fast delivery of deep sleep support ingredients like melatonin and magnesium. Rocket Rest helps you fall asleep fast, stay asleep, and wake up feeling rested. So get the new Rocket Rest formula from Dr. Jones Naturals right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're halfway through today's program. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? I should probably tack this on to that previous segment because this came out on July 2nd. To stop climate change, Americans must cut energy use by 90%, live in 640 square feet, and fly only once every 3 years, says study. That's right. In order to save the planet from catastrophic climate change, Americans will have to do all of those unacceptable things. truly mind-blowing. But of course, this is how to determine what human beings can do on an individual basis, which is not where the problem lies. And this is what this one infuriates me. You know what I want to say to people who believe in climate change? You are not environmentalists. You are the members of a cult. Recycling doesn't help the environment. It is your symbolic ceremony that you carry out to absolve yourself of the sin of existing. You know it doesn't help. Recycling doesn't save anything. Buying your Prius doesn't save anything, especially when you plug it into a diesel gasoline generator. I mean, it makes no sense. The nickel batteries are destroying the earth, and then they only last a few years, and then they sit somewhere in a landfill leaking out toxic metals into the ground. I mean, it's a disaster. You want to target climate change. You want to really help the earth. You've got to ban pesticides like atrazine. It's turning the frogs gay. You've got to ban weather manipulation that is severely altering our entire climate purposefully on a regular basis. You've got to stop the international trade that is sending massive ships, each one of which, I'm pretty sure, like, you can find the stats, but you get one of these ships, and it puts out as much pollution per year as, like, every car in the United States. So the option is, okay, either every car in the United States can stop driving, or we can use one less ship to transport stuff overseas. And I bring it up all the time. I mean, the most, just because it is the most egregious example of growing chickens in America, sending them to China, crossing the Pacific Ocean on one of these unbelievably massive ships to be processed to then be shipped back to America. So you're crossing the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, two times in these massive ships to save like 25 cents on chicken. It's absurd and it's nonsensical. And if we stop that, it would have massive, massive implications for all of the stuff that you seem to care about, but don't actually promote any policies that would prevent the globalist organizations from destroying our earth. You do absolutely nothing. So you're not environmentalists. You're cult members. You don't care about the earth. You care about destroying humanity. They're the state-owned, woman-run, what is it called? Pemex or whatever? The Mexican oil company just releasing the eye of hell in the middle of the ocean, spraying water at it as if that's going to help. Isn't it amazing? It's so funny. It's this in particular, I don't know if I've ever mentioned on the show, but how hilarious is it that, like, you have literally, like, it looks like a hole to hell. It looks like something from a Marvel movie. If you wanted to make the argument that fossil fuels are killing the earth, there it is. Like, you can point to that and go, look at what fossil fuels is doing. And us who actually like fossil fuels go, yeah, that looks pretty bad. Yeah, we need to do something to stop that. I don't know what it is, but we got to do something to stop it. How hilarious is it that instead, all I saw was people saying, that's what capitalism gets us. It's like, okay, here you've been tossed up a home run on climate change, but instead you try to blame capitalism, which it's not even a capitalistic endeavor. It's a state-owned organization. Like, how dumb are you? And then they're like, well, that's what happens when men run their world. And it's like, oh, you mean the state-owned corporation run by a woman is actually the fault of men and capitalism? Like, how dumb are you? Just focus on the fossil fuel thing. Like, do I have to do your arguments for you, morons? It's ridiculous. All right, I'm going to spend the next few minutes reading a very important thread on Twitter by a man named Martyr Maid. By the way, we should try to get on the show because this is brilliant. And I think this needs to be read to any normies because it really does a great job of explaining this. Hopefully I can get it in this next 5 minutes. If not, we'll continue. But I have to read this whole thing verbatim because it is just that good. Martyr Maid says this. He says, I think I've had discussions with enough boomer-tier Trump supporters who believe the 2020 election was fraudulent to extract a general theory about their perspective. It's also the perspective of most of the people that were at the Capitol on January 6th, and probably even Trump himself. Most believe some or all of the theories involving midnight ballots, voting machines, etc. But what you find when you talk to them is that while they'll defend those positions with info they got from Hannity or Breitbart or whatever, they're not particularly attached to them. Here are the facts, actual confirmed facts that shape their perspective. 1. The FBI, etc., spied on the 2016 Trump campaign using evidence manufactured by the Clinton campaign. We now know that all involved knew it was fake from day one. See Brennan's July 2016 memo, etc. These are Tea Party people, the types who give their kids a pocket constitution for their birthdays and have founding father memes in their bios. the intel community spying on a presidential campaign using fake evidence, including forged documents, is a pretty big deal to them. Everyone involved lied about their involvement as long as they could. We only learned from the the DNC paid for the manufactured evidence because of a court order. Comey denied on TV knowing that the DNC paid for it when we have emails from a year earlier proving that he did know. This was true with everyone from CIA Director Brennan and Adam Schiff, who were on TV saying they'd seen clear evidence of collusion with Russia while admitting under oath behind closed doors that they actually hadn't. All the way down the line. In the end, we learned it was all fake. At first, many Trump people were worried because there must be some collusion because every media and intel agency wouldn't be making it up out of nothing. But when it was clear that they had made it up, people expected a reckoning and shed many illusions about their government when that didn't happen. We know as fact, A, the Steele dossier was the sole evidence used to justify spying on the Trump campaign. B, the FBI knew the Steele dossier was a DNC op. C, Steele's source told the FBI the info was unserious. And D, they did not inform the court of any of this and just kept spying. Trump supporters know the collusion case back to front. They went from worrying the collusion might be real to suspecting it might be fake, to realizing it was a scam, then watched as every institution, agencies, the press, Congress, academia, gaslit them for another year. Worse, collusion was used to scare people away from working with the administration. They knew their entire lives would be investigated. Many quit because they were being bankrupted by legal fees. The DOJ, press, and government destroyed lives and actively subverted an elected administration. This is where people whose political identity was largely defined by a naive belief in what they learned in civics class began to see the outline of a regime that crossed all institutional boundaries because it had stepped out of the shadows to unite against an interloper. GOP propaganda still has many of them thinking in terms of partisan binaries, but a lot of Trump supporters see that the regime is not partisan. They all know that the same institutions would have taken opposite sides if it was a Tulsi Gabbard versus George Jeb Bush election. It's hard to describe to people on the left who are used to thinking of government as a conspiracy, Watergate, COINTEL, PRO, WND, etc., how shocking and disillusioning it is. It was for people who encourage their sons to enlist in the army and hate people who don't stand for the anthem. They could have managed the shock if it only involved the government, but the behavior of the corporate press is really what radicalized them. They hate journalists more than they hate any politician or government official because they feel most betrayed by them. The idea that the press is driven by ratings and sensationalism became untenable. If that were true, they'd be all over the Epstein story. The corporate press is the propaganda arm of the regime, and they now see an outline. Nothing anyone ever says will make them unsee that, period. This is profoundly disorienting. Many of them don't know for certain whether ballots were faked in November 2020, but they know for absolute certain that the press, the FBI, etc., would lie to them if it was. They have every reason to believe that, and it's probably true. They watched the press behave like animals for 4 years. Tens of millions of people still see Kavanaugh as a gang rapist based on nothing because of CNN. And CNN seems proud of that. They led a lynch mob against high school kid. They cheered on a summer of riots. They always claimed the media had liberal bias. Fine, whatever. They still thought the press would admit truth if they were cornered. Now they don't. It's a different thing to watch them invent stories whole cloth in order to destroy regular lives and spark mass violence. Time magazine told us that during the 2020 riots, there were weekly conference calls involving, amongst others, leaders of the protests and local officials who refused to stop them, and the media people who framed them for political effect. In Ukraine, we call that a color revolution. Throughout the summer, Democrat governors took advantage of COVID to change voting procedures. It wasn't just the mail-ins. They lowered signature matching, etc. After the collusion scam, the fake impeachment, Trump people expected shenanigans by now. We'll get into this and continue with it and emphasize parts of it on the other side.
The ultimate fluoride-free charcoal mouthwash is now available at InfoWarsStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com for the lowest price possible to complete your daily mouth cleaning routine. It is the perfect companion to the new activated charcoal toothpaste, all under our new line by Dr. Jones Naturals, that will naturally give your mouth and breath a deep clean. This mouthwash only uses the best natural ingredients like real peppermint oil, thyme oil, xylitol, and of course, high-quality charcoal. Not only fluoride-free, this mouthwash is completely free of other dangerous ingredients such as SLS, harsh detergents, BPA, and so much more.
As soon as you use it, you can tell that this formula is the real deal. So get your bottle of the new activated charcoal mouthwash right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
I'm up here working on a Thursday night in mid-April 2021. And I just want to say something. I am so blessed and honored to work with this incredible crew that has come together over the years and is truly an answer to prayer. And I am so blessed and thankful for all of you, the listeners of this show. I want you to know that I love you and I appreciate you. Whether you are old, whether you are Hispanic, white, black, it doesn't matter. You got red blood. And if you love freedom and justice, and if you love our innocent children, we are brothers and sisters together. And it has just been an incredible experience to work with you over the years. And as crazier things are, I want to keep working into the future. But again, that's really up to you and up to God. So please, I hope God works through you and puts a message in your heart to support us. But again, that's up to you and your relationship with God. I just want to thank you all for the years of support you've given us and what you've done. And just ask you again to pray to God and ask what God's vision is for you. And hopefully God will touch your heart to continue to support InfoWars. God bless.
I preach about the dangers of cell phones all day long because they're supercomputers controlled by big tech that are spying on us everywhere we go and what we do. But because they have great cameras and great recording systems and great ways to communicate, I still have one because this Trojan horse, this Promethean fire, has a lot of power. But when I'm not using it, I lock it up in a high-quality Faraday cage, a privacy pocket, at InfoWarsStore.com. We finally got them back in stock, the highest rated. They fit almost all types of Androids and iPhones at 50% off, $14.95. They sell these babies for $29.95 all day long. We've got a private label with InfoWars on them for $14.95 because I want you to get them and I want you to buy friends and family these systems to educate them about what these, quote, smartphones really are. This is a great way to limit your phone time use. It's a great way to spend more time with your family, and it's a great way to know you're not being tracked by the criminal globalist system. They're 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. I never had a marketing plan for InfoWars. I went out and found the best products I could find from the research to fund our operation. I wanted you to get products that empowered you, that you loved, so you'd want to come back and buy more. I treat you like I want to be treated. It's very, very simple. It's instinctive. It's spiritual. It's what I do. And that said, our iodine products have become our best sellers. And X2 right now is discounted because listeners and viewers are habituated to only buy it when it's on sale. And so I'm in a catch-22. When I don't have it on sale, I don't sell it. But we're selling out of all other products because of supply chain breakdowns, and so I'm in a catch-22. I need to sell products at full price, but I can't. I got to sell them at discount. And so it's discounted 40% off for the dropper bottle, 60% off for the spray bottle, even though it's about to sell out. It won't be available for months, so get it. X2 is selling out at InfoWarsStore.com for 40 and 60% off with double Patriot points and free shipping. Because why? That's when you buy it. We need your funds or we'll be off air. It's an amazing product.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, folks, continuing with this really brilliant thread by Martyr Maid. He says, throughout the summer, Democrat governors took advantage of COVID to change voting procedures. It wasn't just the mail-ins. They lowered signature matching standards, etc. After the collusion scam, the fake impeachment, Trump people expected shenanigans by now. Re the fake impeachment, we now know that Trump's request for Biden to cooperate with the DOJ regarding Biden's money activities in Ukraine was in support of an active investigation being pursued by the FBI and Ukraine AG at the time, and so a completely legitimate request. Then you get the Hunter laptop scandal. Big Tech ran full-on censorship campaign against a major newspaper to protect a political candidate. Period. Everyone knows it. All the tech companies now admit it was a mistake, but you know, the election over. So who cares? They don't even admit now that it was a mistake. They said at the time, Facebook said, we can't verify this, but we're going to censor it anyway. That's just me adding that, but Martyr Maid goes on to say, goes without saying, but if the New York Times had Don Jr.'s laptop full of pics of him smoking crack and engaging in group sex with lots of lurid family drama, emails describing direct corruption, and backed up by the CEO of the company that they were using, the New York Times wouldn't have been banned. Of course not. Think back. Stories about Trump being pissed on by Russian prostitutes and blackmailed by Putin were promoted as fact, and the only evidence was a document paid for by his opposition and disavowed by its source. The New York Post was banned for reporting on true information. The reaction of Trump people was not, no fair. That's how they felt about Romney's binder of women in 2012. This is different. Now they see correctly that every institution is captured by people who will use any means to exclude them from the political process. And yet they showed up in record numbers to vote. He got 13 million more votes than in 2016, 10 million more than Clinton got. As election night dragged on, they allowed themselves some hope. But when four critical swing states, and only those states, went dark at midnight, they knew. Over the ensuing weeks, they got shuffled around by grifters and media scam artists selling them conspiracy theories. They latched onto one, then another increasingly absurd theory as they tried to put a concrete name on something very real. Media and tech did everything to make things worse. Everything about the election was strange. The changes to the procedure, unprecedented mail-in voting, the delays. But rather than admit that and make everything transparent, they banned discussion of it. Even in DMs, even in private conversation, they banned discussion. Everyone knows that. Just as Don Jr.'s Trump would have been the story of the century, if everything about the election dispute was the same, except the parties were reversed, suspicions about the outcome would have been taken very seriously. Take 2016 for proof. Even the court's refusal of the cases get nowhere with them because of how the opposition embraced mass political violence. They'll say, with good reason, what judge would stick his neck out for Trump, knowing he'll be destroyed in the media as a violent mob burns down his house? It's a fact, according to Time magazine, that the mass riots were planned in cities across the country if Trump won. Sure, they were protest, but they were planned by the same people as during the summer, and everyone knows what that would have meant. Judges have family, too. So again, this is just a brilliant recitation of the utter breakdown of so-called democracy in this country. It has been completely subverted by the cooperation of the mainstream media and the regime, the deep state, the permanent political class. And it's absurdly apparent. And the physical violence that is being threatened, that has been threatened for the past 4 years, physical violence and metaphysical violence with the destruction of reputations and destruction of livelihoods that has been carried out over the last 4 years, what judge would stand up? What lawyer would stand up? What politician would stick his neck out? After all, doing so gets you labeled a domestic terrorist. This is how far we've fallen, and I thank Martyr Maid for that very, very well-written and concise recitation of how we got to today. And he mentioned the changes to the voter system that we experienced just prior to the 2020 election. Now, there's a video, a statement that was made by Press Secretary Psaki, and I'll read her statement here from the Postmillennial's Twitter. She says, quote, our constitutional rights are on the line because state legislators have forced through a wave of anti-voter laws based on the same repeatedly disproven lies that led to an assault on our nation's capital. Whew. Incredible, isn't it? Now, I went through and counted. There's about 34 words here. Okay, there's about 34 words. Let's see how many lies Jen Psaki is able to contain in just 34 words. Let's break it down into three pieces. First, we'll start with her opening statement. Our constitutional rights are on the line. Okay, one, they're not constitutional rights. So that's one lie there. You don't have a constitutional right to mail in your ballot. You don't have a constitutional right to vote even though you're not a citizen. You don't have a constitutional right to vote for somebody else or to vote for a dead person or to vote without showing your ID. None of that is a constitutional right. That's one lie. The second lie is that they're on the line. They're not on the line. They aren't constitutional rights, but they're also not on the line because that's not what these laws are putting forward. So that's two lies. There's a third in here, because what's really happening is that the federal government is trying to take over the voting system, which is explicitly disallowed by the Constitution. So we're going to throw a third lie into this because not only are they not constitutional rights, they're not being put on the line. The statement is also in the service of violating the Constitution, so we're going to tack on another lie based simply on the framing of the statement. Then she goes on to say, state legislators have forced through a wave of anti-voter laws. Okay, first lie is that they forced them through. They forced them through by voting on them. They passed them through the legislature, right? And then they also say they're anti-voter laws. Well, they are not anti-voter laws, so that's two lies encapsulated there. And then our final segment says this, quote, based on the repeatedly disproven lies that led to an assault on our nation's capital. Not lies, not disproven, definitely not repeatedly disproven, not what these laws are based on. It wasn't an assault, and the voter laws did not lead to that. So that's six more lies on top of that. Plus, I'm throwing in a bonus lie because she says that this claims about voter fraud or, you know, unsafe voter processes is a disproven lie. And so when you lie about a lie, you create sort of a recursive fugue state of a lie. So I'm going to add another lie on top of that, right? When you say something that's true is a lie, that's a lie about a lie. I'm giving her a bonus lie for that. And I'm also tacking on another bonus lie because she says that these disproven lies led to an assault on our nation's capital. Now, it is our nation's capital, but the fact that she phrases it that way insinuates that she actually cares about our nation, which is in and of itself a lie. So I'm giving her a bonus lie for that, too. So we come to a total of about 13 lies in 34 words. That's amazing. It's hard to lie once every three words. That is pretty darn close to a lie every three words. Sky is red. I am woman. Like, it's hard to lie in just three words, but she did it. She did it. 11 lies plus two bonus lies in 34 words. Jen Psaki has set a new record for most number of lies in a single sentence by a representative of our government. Truly incredible. And just to emphasize how nonsensical her statement is, let's take a look at one of the most talked about set of laws, the one from Georgia, the one that all that Under Armour and Coca-Cola and the MLB game, everybody rose up against these draconian orders, right? They say it's restricting voting access. Well, what does it actually do? It has identity requirements for absentee balloting. It limits drop boxes, and it's expanding the legislature's powers over the election. Well, the legislature does have power over the election, so they're just re-acknowledging that, resupplying that. But let's take a look at two things that these laws are reversing. One is ballot drop boxes, and the other is mail-in ballots. Well, neither one of these things existed before April of last year. In April of last year, we have two stories. Georgia to mail absentee ballot request forms to all active voters. So previously in Georgia, the highest amount of mail-in ballots cast was 6%, and that happened in 2018. So they went from 6% mail-in ballot voting in Georgia to 100%. Okay? This did not pass through the legislature. This was not voted on by representatives. This was a dictate by Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia. He did this unilaterally. He didn't ask permission. He didn't ask, whether this should happen. He just did it, right? So in April of 2020, Brad Raffensperger, Secretary of State, simply by dictate and by fiat, put these orders into place. The mail-in ballot is being sent out to every Georgia citizen, as well as this story, ballot drop boxes approved for Georgia voters during coronavirus. That's right. It was an emergency, last-minute change to the voter laws that was not voted on, but was issued by dictate, not based on science, but supposed to be a temporary emergency measure because of coronavirus. So the Georgia voting laws that have just been passed reverse these two dictates that were not passed through the legislature. But these people want you to believe that passing laws through the legislature that reverse these not well thought out and hastily implemented emergency measures strictly for coronavirus is somehow restricting voting rights and is also racist, apparently. This is just how dishonest the entire landscape of the discussion about voter rights and these laws being passed truly is. These were emergency measures implemented hastily without oversight, without approval by the state legislators, and now the state legislators are reversing these unilateral dictates. They're being called racist and telling you that they're trying to restrict voter rights. These people are dishonest to an untold degree.
I'm up here working on a Thursday night in mid-April 2021, and I just want to say something. I am so blessed and honored to work with this incredible crew that has come together over the years and is truly an answer to prayer. And I am so blessed and thankful for all of you, the listeners of this show. I want you to know that I love you and I appreciate you. Whether you are old, whether you are Hispanic, white, black, it doesn't matter. You've got red blood. And if you love freedom and justice, and if you love our innocent children, we are brothers and sisters together. And it has just been an incredible experience to work with you over the years. And as crazy as things are, I want to keep working into the future. But again, that's really up to you and up to God. So please, I hope God works through you and puts a message in your heart to support us. But again, that's up to you and your relationship with God. I just want to thank you all for the years of support you've given us and what you've done.
and just ask you again to pray to God and ask what God's vision is for you. And hopefully God will touch your heart to continue to support InfoWars. God bless.
I don't like coming to you and saying this could be our last broadcast. Hell, I've been on there 27 years, and only the last year or so have I said that. But let me tell you, the New World Order is breathing down our neck. The big globalist publications are coming after us, and they're doing everything they can to shut us down. So please pray to keep InfoWars on the air, and please support the local station you're listening to as well. At the same time, go to InfoWarsStore.com while you still can, and get a book, get a film, get a t-shirt, get some supplements, because it's that money that helps us stay on air in the face of this thing. I need your help more than ever now. I want to keep fighting the globalists, but I can't do it if you don't support us. So pray for us, word of mouth, tell folks about the broadcast however you can, and buy great products that will enrich you and your family's lives every day at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether it's high-quality coffee or supplements or books or films, all of it nurtures the soul, all of it empowers humanity, all of it is pro-human and pro-God. Thank you so much.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of American Journal has begun. I thank you so much for being here with us. My guest this hour will be Gregory R. Copley. And I have to say, he may be, in fact, he might have a little competition from some of our previous guests, but I'm going to come out and say he is probably the most distinguished guest we've ever had on this program. I'm very, very excited to speak to him. We're playing two men down right now. Our crew is missing two people, so the crew is doing an excellent job. We're scrambling behind the scenes. Luckily, you don't see that because so far the show, I think, has been running fairly flawlessly. So, folks, if you want to support us, please do go to InfoWarsStore.com. Help us to keep this crew, keep this infrastructure necessary running, as well as to get the incredible guest that we have. And with that, I would like to welcome to the program Gregory R. Copley. Gregory Copley is president of the International Strategic Studies Association based in Washington, D.C. He's also the editor-in-chief of Defense and Foreign Affairs Publications and the Global Information System and Online Encrypted Access Global Intelligence Service, which provides strategic current intelligence to governments. Gregory Copley is co-author of 36 books and several thousand articles, papers, and lectures on strategic issues and history. A complete list of his books can be found on artofvictory.com, and more details of the ISSA can be found at strategicstudies.com. Again, that's strategicstudies.org and artofvictory.com. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Mr. Copley.
Delighted to be with you.
Well, I'm very delighted that you're here. We read this article of yours, What Would a U.S. Civil War Look Like? And usually, if I have somebody on that's just written an article, I go through and I try to underline maybe sentences that I want to point out and ask them about. I don't know if you can see this on the camera. I ended up pretty much highlighting the entire article. I mean, there's not a line in this article that I don't want to, you know, focus on and ask you about. It is really incredibly well done and has so much beautiful insight in it. I wonder if you could just tell us, in your own words, what you think a U.S. civil war would look like and whether you think one is likely in the near future.
Well, yes, and I think we could even take a step back and ask what warfare in general will look like in the 21st century. It's already begun, this new form of amorphous warfare that we're seeing, and I highlighted that in a new book which just came out a few months ago called The New Total War of the 21st Century and the Trigger of the Fear Pandemic. And it highlights that the margins, if you like, between civil war and total global war are now very, very much blurred. We're seeing societies polarizing, and we're seeing international players taking advantage of these kinds of schisms and divisions. So you could argue that a U.S. civil war is in many respects already underway. Mm. That doesn't mean it has to mirror the late 19th century civil war in the United States, and in fact it almost certainly would not. But it does have a lot of the same underlying social causes. It's partly the urbanism, urban populations versus regional populations, for example. And that was very much the trigger for the U.S. Civil War in the 1860s. And it is today, because societies in regional and urban areas think very, very differently. And now, of course, the preponderance of U.S. society lives in urban areas. And as a result, they do think in an entirely different fashion, and they do have the preponderance of the vote. And they are gathered in very, very small geographic areas, whereas regional voters are scattered over wide areas. We saw this, by the way, in the breakup of Yugoslavia, and particularly the breakup of Bosnia-Herzegovina in the 1990s. There were massive complaints within particularly the U.S. media that the Serbs had somehow enslaved all of Bosnian society, because they owned something like 65% or 85% of the land, right, and had at least 30% of the people.
Right, and that's one of the words that we hear a lot these days, is the Balkanization of the United States. We'll be right back with Gregory Copley.
We know that the satanic principalities of this planet want us poisoned. They want to attack our bodies. They want to kill us because we're made in the image of God. But God gave us the components of our cells, of our bodies, to be strong. We've got everything we need. That's why the globalists hit us with the bad halogens of fluoride, chlorine, bromide, you name it, instead of iodine. Our food, our water, our plants, everything we eat is deficient in it. The average person is deficient, and it attacks your IQ, it attacks your stamina, and your libido and fertility particularly. Look into it. We have the purest iodine you're going to find anywhere on the planet in X2, and it's discounted right now with free shipping for 40% off in the dropper bottle. We have it for 60% off in the spray bottle. It's the exact same formula, but I want you to experience it for yourself. If you've been on the fence about iodine, this is the best. Try it today. It takes about 15 days to kick in. It's exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and it funds the InfoWar. Only way you fail is not taking action.
You're watching The American Journal. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to American Journal. My name is Harrison Smith. My guest is Gregory R. Copley. He's president of the International Strategic Studies Association. You can find his website, strategicstudies.org, or artofvictory.com. And his newest book is called The New Total War of the 21st Century, available for sale now. Mr. Copley, you were making an interesting point there about the changing of the nature of warfare. And it seems like war, in a general sense, went through a major change during the Cold War, when you had two major superpowers that sort of couldn't face off with each other. And so you saw the outbreak of proxy wars in its place all around the world, in places like Afghanistan and elsewhere. And it seems like now maybe that has morphed into another transformation. Is it because of the technology that we now have, the interconnectedness? Is that what's driving it? And what do you think the new form of war may look like?
Well, we have to look at the evolution of total war going back more to the 19th century and even late 18th century with Napoleon, right, where he would mobilize, Napoleon particularly, mobilized everything at his disposal against an adversary, and in many respects became successful because of that, largely because he could mobilize all of French society, but he couldn't target all of his opponent's societies. World War One, we saw this massive mobilization of society and a lot of emphasis on civilian targeting, targeting of civilian infrastructure, and that was when General Ludendorff, the German general, coined the phrase total war, although he didn't really understand it. And it wasn't until about 1938 when Stefan Bissoni in Vienna came up with a concept of total war as being very much an economic situation. And he wrote a book at that stage called, I can't remember what it was called in English, but it was basically a war about immobilizing the economies of all societies. And World War II came to pass. Now, with the advent of nuclear weapons, and coupled with the global reach created by World War II supply chains and aircraft and ships and the like, you started to see the great fear that a Third World War would come in the form of a nuclear war, which would be unsustainable in the manner in which it was postulated. Well, that, of course, caused the proxy warfare diversion, if you like, and it forced societies, particularly the Soviet Union, to go into that approach where you're looking at targeting every element of society you could, and particularly utilizing attacks on the minds of societies, getting to the weak points in societies and exploiting those, changing the way people think, dominating their will. We keep forgetting that the only purpose of war is to dominate the will of your adversaries and your allies. You want to impose your will to get what you need to survive. So whether you launch bombers and warships and men across beaches to achieve that objective is, well, you can do that, but it's very expensive. And the reality is that at the end of the day, you only want to dominate the environment so you control your own ability to survive. So it's much cheaper, obviously, to do it by other means than conventional military war. In the West, we've been conditioned to thinking that war is about uniformed military formations going head to head with other peer groups. And in reality, that's totally antiquated. And the Soviets recognized that, but too late. They didn't have the economic resources. The People's Republic of China, however, has embarked on this major war to get inside the societies of their adversaries and their friends to change the way they think. And as a result, getting into and defeating the United States means getting into U.S. society and supporting the divisions within society, which we see, and not just in the U.S., but in the West generally. The People's Republic of China came up with a doctrine in 1999 called unrestricted warfare, written by two senior colonels in the People's Liberation Army. And that doctrine has been updated literally daily since that first publication. And it entails very much using every aspect at your disposal, but primarily things which control human actions at a policy level. You want to paralyze your target audience so they can't make decisions. You want to create defeatism. You want to break up their productivity and the like. So basically, that's what's underway. So you can't see the edges of a U.S. domestic schism separately from something sponsored by Beijing in this instance. But literally, it's an approach which all societies take. In Russia, for example, in the middle of last year, a new national security law came into effect, which said that the Russian general staff, the military, would be given the task of coordinating an all-of-society conduct of warfare in response to threats. Mm. Now, that's all well and good, but the kicker in this was not that the general staff got that job, but that the document said that 80% of warfare was now non-military, non-kinetic.
Right.
The Chinese would say that it was 95, 98%. And here we are in the West still thinking that we're going to throw our Marine Corps, our Army, our Air Force, Navy, and so on into the teeth of a conventional war, and we'll wait until that war breaks out before committing those forces. Well, the war is already underway, and it's been facilitated to a large extent by these polarizations in global society caused by urbanization, a process which really got some momentum during and after World War II. And that created a society which was really highly productive, highly wealthy. But then that trend, which has lasted more than 70 years, has peaked. So we're now going from a period of 70, 80 years of constant growth in population and economics and the like to imminent decline in economics and population and market size, and that makes people very, very nervous. And when people get nervous, they start to rethink where they are. They polarize into their groups, urban groups, rural groups, and the like, nationalism versus globalism. And this is an inevitable consequence, and it happens periodically throughout history, and it's underway right now. So you've got, if you like, two gigantic forces, globalists versus nationalists, now coming into conflict because they each, one the globalists think, we've got this wealthy society with all of these great achievements in human rights and the like, and now the nationalists are coming and jeopardizing that by wanting to retract into little America, little Britain, little Australia and the like. And the reality is that each one is trying to hold on to their sense of identity and their sense of survival.
Right.
And this means that there is an inevitable clash. We saw that in slow motion, if you like, in 1861 with the outbreak of the Civil War in North America. Now we're seeing it on steroids and in high speed, and it's getting very, very interesting.
It is extremely interesting, and again, I suggest people find your article, What Would a U.S. Civil War Look Like? Because you lay out a lot of this, and we'll talk about, you know, how this affects the America itself rather than the global warfare, but... it does seem like war is constantly going through these big evolutionary changes. And as you bring up Napoleon, I'm not sure if people know this, but, you know, prior to the French Revolution, most warfare in Europe was carried out by mercenary armies, small scale. You'd have a few hundred people dead per battle. After the French Revolution, you had what you called a people in arms. And Napoleon would actually go out and draft tens of thousands of people to the point that, you know, he was once quoted by saying, I spend 30,000 lives in a day. So it massively scaled up. How warfare was carried out, and it seems like every time one of these evolutions occurs, it's whoever's most capable at dealing with that latest evolution and most, you know, capable of taking advantage of these new technologies, I guess you could say, usually comes out on top. Although in Napoleon's case, I guess he was outdone by he was outflanked by the British Navy. But when we get back on the other side, I'd like to ask specifically about this article, What a U.S. Civil War Would Look Like, and some very cogent points you make about urban globalists versus the more rural populations of America and how these two factors interact and deal with each other. Very brilliant stuff. You say urban globalists control most of the means of communications, which is the new means of production, 21st century Marxian dialectic, and therefore they control the information and the perception of events. In other words, it's an information war, and we're fighting it. We'll be back with Gregory Copley on the other side.
As men age, they often experience a slowdown in vitality, energy, and overall wellness.
And that's why we made one of our most popular formulas to date, Super Male Vitality, specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper balance to create superior vitality in males. Now look, this unique formula promotes your body's own natural responses, and it contains no synthetic chemicals and no unwanted additives.
Yes.
We're talking about ancient wisdom combined with modern technology, working together in perfect synchronicity to help you get the most out of this herb-packed formula. So what are you waiting for? Go to the InfoWars store. Never been a better time than right now.
Super Male Vitality
at InfoWarsStore.com.
We here at InfoWars are proud to announce the first ever Kava Kava root supplement that is now available at InfoWarsStore.com. Kava is one of the hottest new breakthroughs in the natural health world today, though it has been used for hundreds of years in the Pacific Islands for its relaxation and euphoric effects. According to ancient Samoan legend, Kava was given as a gift by the sun god Tagaloa, who they considered to be the supreme ruler and creator of the universe. The Samoan people would drink kava tea during social gatherings and sacred ceremonies to loosen up a little. Nowadays, kava is used around the world by many who enjoy its serious benefits. The new Kava Chill by Dr. Jones Naturals contains a full blend of not only kava kava, but other herbs including, but not limited to, German chamomile, organic skullcap, and valerian root. We do expect to sell this new product quickly, so be sure to secure yours by visiting InfoWarsStore.com.
So, we have free shipping, double Patriot points through this weekend. And our big loss leader is X2 in the dropper and in the spray bottle for 40 and 60% off, and your purchase funds the M4. But seriously, the UN admits 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of lack of iodine. You need to experience it for yourself. It takes 2 weeks to a month to kick in. Try it and tell me what you think. You can't lose. You're funding the InfoWar. And again, I can harp on this all day, but just like our information is dead on from research, I'm telling you, I couldn't do what I do without Deep Earth Crystal Iodine and X2. Just in the stamina and mental focus area, it's incredible. What it did for libido is incredible. When I don't take it, I feel the difference. When I do take it, I'm so empowered. Get your X2 today, discounted in the spray bottle and in the eyedropper bottle to take under your tongue at InfoWarsStore.com. The globalists hope you don't explore how incredibly powerful Deep Earth Crystal Iodine is. I preach about the dangers of cell phones all day long because they're supercomputers controlled by big tech that are spying on us everywhere we go and what we do. But because they have great cameras and great recording systems and great ways to communicate, I still have one because this Trojan horse, this Promethean fire, has a lot of power. But when I'm not using it, I lock it up in a high-quality Faraday cage, a privacy pocket, at InfoWarsStore.com. We finally got them back in stock, the highest rated. They fit almost all types of Androids and iPhones. It 50% off, $14.95. They sell these babies for $29.95 all day long. We've got a private label with InfoWars on them for $14.95 because I want you to get them and I want you to buy friends and family these systems to educate them about what these, quote, smartphones really are. This is a great way to limit your phone time use. It's a great way to spend more time with your family, and it's a great way to know you're not being tracked by the criminal globalist system. They're 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest, Gregory R. Copley, president of the International Studies Association. His latest book is called The New Total War of the 21st Century, but he was just telling me during the break, this is actually the latest in a series of books that began with The Art of Victory in 2006 and moved on to several other titles as he laid the academic framework of this idea of the new form of warfare, which takes a amorphous and less direct establishment. Now, I want to read a statement here from this article called What Would a U.S. Civil War Look Like? You say simply it will appear as evolving chaos. In the next U.S. Civil War, though it may be arrested to a degree by the formal hand of centralized government, it will destabilize many other nations, including the People's Republic of China. And you go on to talk about the election of President Donald Trump as well as the election of the voting for Brexit in 2016, and you say in both instances, the election of Mr. Trump and the decision by UK voters for Britain to exit the European Union were late reactions, perhaps too late, by the regional populations of both countries to what they perceive as the destruction of their nation states by urban super oligarchs or oligarchies. The last ditch reaction by those who voted in the US for Donald Trump and those who voted in the UK for Brexit were against an urban-based globalism that has been building for some 7 decades with the deliberate or accidental intent of destroying nations and nationalism. It's now crystallizing into this. Urban globalism sees nations and nationalism as the enemy and vice versa. I just thought that was so well put, sir, and I wonder if you could expand on that.
Well, thanks for reminding me, Harrison. I'd actually forgotten I'd written that article in 2017. So here we are 4 years later, and it looks prescient.
It does.
Hopefully it was. But the reality is that that you could see that this is the only way that warfare can evolve. People are reluctant to come out and commit against each other in direct terms, so they're working indirectly. And that's one of the things about warfare these days. It is all of society. So, and we see it in life throughout the United States and throughout Britain and Australia and the like. There are people you found that you can no longer talk to because they either shut down completely or they erupt in fear. They resort to cliches And by the way, we resort to cliches on all sides of arguments, so that's not necessarily an insult. It's our first, if you like, line of defense.
Human, human nature, perhaps.
Exactly. But what's happening is that we are polarizing. We are in a form of chaos. That chaos does not seem to be diminishing. And the way in which we see people saying, well, let's unite, let's end the chaos, is to come up with more draconian forms of suppression of individual thought. In other words, we go to a period of greater political correctness. And political correctness is also an automatic response to societal survival. There are a couple of great books which I'd commend to your readers, not mine. One's called The Crowd by Gustave Le Bon, which came out in the late 1800s, and that talks about mass psychology and why crowds do the things that they do. And an even better one called Crowds and Power, Mass und Macht, as it originally was called, by Elias Canetti. And that came out in 1964, I think, and won the Nobel Prize for Literature, oh, wow. A real Nobel Prize, in other words. That talks about why people need to move in groups in order to, and have groupthink in order to survive. And this is why women's dresses, if they're the right length, they indicate some form of, okay, you're in or you're out of the in crowd. And it's a way of keeping tabs on who is with you and who's not with you. And social mores fall into this category as well. And the more desperate and the more polarized societies become, the more you need to know who's with you and who's against you. And that's defined by forms of speech, forms of dress, and the like, and of course locations. So basically we're seeing this political correctness going through an extreme acceleration because it's based on fear, right. As all fashion and it is. It's a form of, if you like, management through fear, sure. Fear of being left out. And that's where we are today. So it's going to get worse. And what we are now seeing, of course, in the last literally recent weeks is that there is now being is a push back against wokeness, which had basically been sweeping over people. People saying, well, how come I can't use this word or that word anymore? Or this person's popular and this person's all of a sudden out of favor. There are now people saying, enough of this nonsense. We're going to stop it. Now, the process has a long way to go. And we're seeing it particularly starting with over the last 18 months or so with the destruction of statues. And that's continuing to go on today. So you had a situation in Canada where you had in Winnipeg, you had statues of Queen Victoria, for example, toppled and damaged. Right. The response to that was that the new Governor General of Canada is going to be an Inuit woman, highly capable, by the way, and a great choice of Governor General. But there was no question that her selection as the new Governor General of Canada was based on the fact that she was politically correct. She represented, if you like, the minorities of Canada, and certainly they need to be addressed, and most Canadians do appreciate that. But so this was a safe bet. But you can see how public actions drive policy. And we see this all the time. We see it in the way nations conduct war. We saw the overthrow of the Shah of Iran driven by U.S. media perceptions, which changed overnight, and the Shah himself couldn't understand. We see it right now with the way the United States is pushing for conflict along the Nile River between Ethiopia and Egypt and Sudan. This is all about media-driven perceptions, which are very shallow, but very, quote, politically correct.
Right, and very convincing in many cases, I think, to a lot of people. And let's we'll finish out the segment here with another quote from this article, which I guess, yeah, we must have missed. It was from 2017, because it seems like you could have written it yesterday. It's just as pertinent now as it was then, I suppose. But you say this: in some respects, it is a conflict between people with long memories, even if those memories are flawed and selective, and people to whom memories and history are irrelevant. Equally, it is a conflict between identity and materialism, with the abstract social groups, the urban populations, the most preoccupied with short-term material gain. And I think that's incredibly true. And I think that is a lot of what we're dealing with here. And I think that's sort of embodied in a lot of cases with the destruction of the statues, perhaps a form of soft warfare, you would say.
Yeah. In fact, history makes most urban people very, very nervous.
Right.
They don't want to know about history because it means that they have to really think about it. And maybe they have to even justify actions of their ancestors, which they didn't like.
Right.
But the reality is history exists. And you are not going to eliminate history by pretending it didn't exist. That gets to be the bottom line.
I think that might be the message we need to get to some academics here in America. You cannot destroy history by pretending it doesn't exist. Very well said. Gregory R. Copley is my guest. We'll be right back on the other side with American Journal. Stay with us.
Iodine is one of the most important drivers in the body for fertility, for cellular function, for libido, for life. If you don't have iodine, you die in a matter of months. So if you don't have oxygen, you die in 4 minutes. If you don't have water, you die in a week or so. If you don't have food, a month or so. But what's in that food? Iodine. But if your food doesn't have that atomic pure iodine, it can't operate. And the food itself is lacking. That's why most people on Earth are deficient in iodine. And governments are lowering the allowance you're supposed to need to have because they want control. Ladies and gentlemen, our information is powerful. Our products are just as powerful. Experience clean iodine today. It's discounted. 40% off of the dropper bottle, 60% off of the spray bottle. You take it to your mouth, pure atomic iodine with free shipping, double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't wait any longer. Just like our information is powerful, our products are just as powerful. They don't want you to experience this. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. Take action. Find out what you're missing. Get the missing link. Get X2.
It's time to show them what a real alpha male looks like with one of our most powerful products ever made, Alpha Power. As you age, your body can lose testosterone over time. With the incredible ingredients in this formula, we can help you beat the test of time and assist in restoring that lost energy and mood that comes with time and age. Alpha Power's incredible ingredients can help you boost your sports performance or enhance your day-to-day life with ease while encouraging hormonal balance. Perfect by itself or with Super Male Vitality in the true Alpha Male Pack. Alpha Power can help boost performance, help maintain normal testosterone levels, support healthy cholesterol, and more. Let Alpha Power help bring you to the peak of your optimal health. Don't fall short on energy in the fight against tyranny. Show the world what a true alpha male looks like today with Alpha Power. Head to InfoWarsStore.com today.
I never had a marketing plan for InfoWars. I went out and found the best products I could find from the research to fund our operation. I wanted you to get products that empowered you, that you loved, so you'd want to come back and buy more. I treat you like I want to be treated. It's very, very simple. It's instinctive. It's spiritual. It's what I do. And that said, our iodine products have become our best sellers. And X2 right now is discounted because listeners and viewers are habituated to only buy it when it's on sale. And so I'm in a catch-22. When I don't have it on sale, I don't sell it. But we're selling out of all our other products because of supply chain breakdowns, and so I'm in a catch-22. I need to sell products at full price, but I can't. I got to sell them at discount. And so it's discounted 40% off for the dropper bottle, 60% off for the spray bottle, even though it's about to sell out. It won't be available for months, so get it. X2 is selling out at InfoWarsStore.com for 40 and 60% off with double Patriot points and free shipping. Because why? That's when you buy it. We need your funds or we'll be off air. It's an amazing product.
What are champions made of?
Here's a man who can show you.
InfoWarsStore.com is simply the best. InfoWarsStore.com beats out all the rest. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139 is the InfoWarsStore hotline. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to American Journal. My name is Harrison Smith. If you're a regular viewer of the show, you know I like history. I like military history. As such, I'm greatly enjoying our conversation with Gregory R. Copley, and I hope you are as well. You can find his website at artofvictory.com or strategicstudies.org, and he has a great many books available for your enjoyment, including his latest, which is The New Total War of the 21st Century. Now, we've been talking a little bit about the specter, the prospect of civil war here in America, but let's expand a little bit to the global geopolitical machinations that are occurring as we speak. We're talking a little bit about this during the break, and so I'll sort of reiterate. I have the feeling that China doesn't want war with America because they're winning already. In my opinion, the last thing they want is an actual physical army-to-army conflict with anybody, because it seems like their economic efforts are making such great gains that they would want to continue on that regard. But then Mr. Copley corrected me, saying that actually China may be not as strong as they're projecting out to be, which I guess I should have guessed. But perhaps you can help us explain where China is right now and how they maybe see the world, or just everything with that.
Right. Well, I think we start with the premise that was, I think, one German general again said in the 19th century, which was, no plan of campaign survives the first shot. In other words, you never know how a war is going to turn out once you start it, or a battle.
Right.
So I think is thrown up in the air.
I think Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. similar
exactly
thought.
Right. So, same deal. And look, there's no question that the People's Liberation Army leadership and Xi Jinping himself have studied World War II. They've studied the Japanese experience in World War II. They've studied the collapse of the Soviet Union during the Cold War and the like. So they understand the risks inherent. They also understand the risks of nuclear war. They understand, you know, where they have advantages in the nuclear realm and in the cyber realm in particular. But they looked at what could occur in going to war with the United States, and they saw Japan. Japan did its absolute utmost to deter the United States from coming out into open warfare with the United States. But on December 6, 1941, the Imperial Japanese Navy did its most extreme reach. It went into Pearl Harbor, did an immense damage, not enough damage, quite clearly, and they hoped from that that they would deter the U.S. Now, the reality was that if the Japanese could have reached into Washington, D.C., or into the productive heartlands of the United States, at its agricultural output, its industrial output, and knocked all of that capability out, then that's what they would have done.
Right.
Because that would be the only way they could guarantee that the United States did not respond the way it did, which was to say, oh, hell no, we're not going to put up with this, right, and went to war. So today, the People's Republic of China and others have the capacity to reach into that industrial economic heartland and core of the West and the United States in a way which Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany never did.
Right.
And that's with cyber warfare and other forms of warfare, including psychological warfare. They're paralyzing Western societies. They can turn off the major electrical grids of the United States and keep them turned off for a matter of weeks. If they do that, that's the game over. That's the collapse of the United States. However, that does not mean the rise of the People's Republic of China. The People's Republic of China will rise and fall on issues which are not related to the United States being the great superpower or not. Well, in some ways they do. The People's Republic of China has about 20% of the world's population and 7% of the world's water. Most of that water is polluted. they cannot therefore grow food to sustain their population. And as they urbanize, and they've gone in the last 25, 30 years from about a 25% urbanization of their population to now about 58% of their population urbanized and growing by the day, urban populations require more water than rural populations. They not only use it for bathing and cooking and the like, but, and for drinking, but they demand foods which are highly water intensive, like cattle, pork, even chickens.
Right.
And so the result is that we see the People's Republic of China today is more dependent on imported food, existentially dependent on imported food, in a way which we have not seen in history since the collapse of the Roman Empire.
Right.
So that's an immense risk which we're seeing taken by the People's Republic of China. Now, the Communist Party of China understood this, but they thought, well, if we'll get wealthy first and then we'll solve the food problem. Well, they're still a long way from solving the food problem. Today, if the United States collapses or ceases to provide food to the People's Republic of China, then millions die within weeks. Okay, this is profound. The Communist Party of China has searched the world for alternate food supplies, Australia, Russia, Europe, Brazil, and elsewhere in Africa. Not happening, which is why in that that January 2019 trade deal which they did with the United States, they not only capitulated to all of the terms which Donald Trump laid out, but said, no, we want double the agreed amount of food from the United States, because they understood that this was how they would survive. So war with the United States would automatically cut off the food supply. That's one thing.
Right.
The second thing is, of course, that although they have developed the People's Liberation Army to a high degree of capability, I mean, really impressive, and that's the result of wealth, they still haven't been able to break out of the first island chain. In other words, they need to get past Taiwan.
Yeah.
And they can't. They can't invade Taiwan without triggering a major war, which would involve not only Japan and possibly the United States, but almost certainly would involve India, because India would not hesitate at that stage to launch the war it's been waiting to wage against China, the People's Republic of China. Look, in 2019, the Indian Army put a million troops into Kashmir,
right,
which was an autonomous part of India. They broke the Indian constitution to do that, ostensibly to go after terrorists, but you don't need a million troops to go after terrorists. They put those troops there so that they could cut across the top, if you like, of Kashmir into Pakistan-occupied Kashmir and across over to Afghanistan and Central Asia. That would do two things. Firstly, it would cut off China's land bridge down from mainland China down to the Indian Ocean through Kashmir and Pakistan. Secondly, it would give the Chinese the ability to go up into Central Asia and flank China in Central Asia, which is something that Beijing has been anxious to avoid. So there's no way that Beijing can afford to risk this. If it's going to take over Taiwan, it's going to have to do it by other means, and everything is failing. When they had to go, when they were forced to go into crackdown in Hong Kong, that was the end of any chance of the Taiwanese people agreeing to a peaceful takeover, right, of their country by the mainland. And of course, within all this, the Communist Party of China cannot claim victory or legitimacy because they didn't win the Civil War. They didn't eliminate the Republic of China. And the Communist Party and the People's Republic of China did not take on the debts and obligations of Imperial China. So they don't have actually legal and legitimate standing in the world community. It's all bluster at this stage. And their centenary speech of Xi Jinping meant that they were increasing the bluster, and that meant that they were decreasing their real options to materially change their situation.
I have to say, you're saying things that I do not hear on mainstream media or any media for that matter that's actually making me think it's not quite as bad as it's perceived in other cases. This is kind of a white-pilling, reinvigorating interview. I'm very happy about this. We'll be back. The
BioPros are the new non-GMO pollution solution, using eco-friendly products to treat everyday problems while supporting our environment. For the first time, the BioPros are bringing to the public market a suite of bioremediation products to the everyday consumer. Their first product they are launching is called BioSeptic Pro, a product specifically designed to establish a healthy septic system. BioSeptic Pro contains live microorganisms, not traditional enzymes like its competitors. This stuff lives in your septic system. It's really like probiotics for your septic tank. Say goodbye to septic problems, gas buildup, and odor guaranteed. BioSeptic Pro is light years ahead of traditional septic treatments. They have a revolutionary patented delivery system that carries live microorganisms to treat the problem at its core, making their products up to 100 times more effective than its competitors. BioSeptic Pro is safe for plumbing, human, animal, and aquatic life. Secure your BioSeptic Pro today at TheBioPros.com for anaerobic septic tanks. TheBioPros.
Well, all the big box stores are making record profits, and so is Amazon, because they designed the global shutdown to destroy small and medium-sized businesses, and it is wreaking havoc in the supply chain. Thousands and thousands of small companies have completely shut down, and others are struggling to stay open because they can't get raw materials, whether it's for food, whether it's for medicine, whether it's for supplements, whether it's for textiles, whatever the product is. You see it in the news. It is record level supply chain breakdowns because the globalists shut down the world economy for more than a year, and now they're trying to bring the shutdown back again. In fact, in areas like India and areas of Africa, the shutdown is ongoing. It's killing those people in massive numbers. So InfoWars doesn't have a lot of our best-selling products in anymore for 6, 7, 8 months because of this. So to make up the shortfall, please buy T-shirts, books, films, things like that at InfoWarsStore.com, and please try to keep us on the air.
The world is awakening. The world is beginning to understand the globalist paradigm. They are discovering the globalist, the elites, the manipulation, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Bohemian Grove, the Club of Rome. And so, even though it seems like the globalists are winning, the truth is they've had to come out in the open to attack human freedom because they're actually losing. We have forced them out in the open. So as bad as these times are, and a lot of negative things are about to happen, realize humanity is winning. You've got to trust in the plan of God and trust in the plan of God's justice. That is invincible. That is ethereal, timeless, and unstoppable. So don't trust in man. Trust in God to lead, God, and direct your soul, and then take action against the globalists. And realize you've got my commitment from Alex Jones and my crew to you. We will never back down from the globalists, and we will never surrender.
So we have free shipping, double Patriot points through this weekend, and our big loss leader is X2 in the dropper and in the spray bottle for 40 and 60% off, and your purchase funds the M4. But seriously, the UN admits 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of lack of iodine. You need to experience it for yourself. It takes 2 weeks to a month to kick in. Try it and tell me what you think. You can't lose. You're funding the InfoWar. And again, I can harp on this all day, but just like our information is dead on from research, I'm telling you, I couldn't do what I do without deep breath crystal iodine and X2. Just in the stamina and mental focus area, it's incredible. What it did for libido is incredible. When I don't take it, I feel the difference. When I do take it, I'm so empowered. Get your X2 today, discounted in the spray bottle and in the eyedropper bottle to take under your tongue at InfoWarsStore.com. The globalists hope you don't explore how incredibly powerful deep breath crystal iodine is.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to American Journal. Final segment for us here today. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com to support everything that we do here, including getting the great guest that we get. My guest today is Gregory R. Copley. He's the president of the International Strategic Studies Association based in Washington, D.C. Their website is strategicstudies.org. Or you can go to his website, artofvictory.com, and I will be going there after the show today because I am definitely very interested in picking up some of your books, sir, including the newest one, The New Total War of the 21st Century. I've learned so much in just our, you know, hour-long conversation here. I can't wait to dig into one of your books and find out what wisdom awaits me. Now, we were talking about India and China a little while ago and sort of reinvigorating my hope for the future, because I sort of tend to focus on the negative aspects of maybe global politics or geopolitics and global conflict. But what you're pointing out is it's not that simple. You can't just focus on those things. You have to take everything into account. And one of the things you have to take into account is China's inability to feed itself and inability to have enough water to support its population. And so the question came up from my producer, Matt. Would they attack India for water? And this is something, this is an idea that we've heard about for a long time, water wars. Is water going to be the catalyst here for a next big global war?
Well, yes, it already is. But we look at, only have to look at the Egypt-Ethiopia dispute, which is underway right now, to see how critical that is, and that that's going on elsewhere in the world as well. Let me preface it by saying that a collapse of the People's Republic of China does not mean a triumph necessarily for the United States. What we're seeing right now in the West is a psychological war, which was begun by the Communist Party of the Soviet Union during the Cold War. They were massing a very professional global campaign against the rest of the world, and it was very successful, and it has led us largely to the kind of thinking we're seeing in the polarization of societies in the West today. Now, the Soviet Union collapsed, so ultimately the strategy didn't work, but we can see that the results of this war going on today and affecting it. Now, when it comes to the water and the water wars between the People's Republic of China and India, it's actually even broader and more complex than that. But the key to it is the fact that the People's Republic of China in 1950 invaded Tibet and controls the vast Tibetan plateau, the roof of the world, and that roof of the world literally controls the source of the great rivers going into China and going down into India and down into Southeast Asia. So you see the Mekong River, the Yangtze, the Yellow, the Brahmaputra River, the Indus, and all that all have their sources up there in areas already controlled by the People's Republic of China, which is why the Beijing or the Communist Party of China is so adamant in its persecution of the Tibetans and the Dalai Lama. So this is highly critical. We tend to think of this as a cultural kind of conflict, and we concentrate on, if you like, the persecution of the Uyghurs. But the reality is that the persecution of the Tibetans is a strategic core of the survival of the PRC. Now, the Indians have been using the controls of some of these waterways, and particularly some of the supplies going down into the Indus Valley, to try to paralyze Pakistan. So India has been running its own water wars against Pakistan, which it also sees as, by the way, part of its war against the People's Republic of China. So the one thing's for sure, Beijing is not about to try to trigger a physical war with India over the control of the Tibetan plateau or access there. That we've seen the small conflict occur in the last few months between India and Indian troops and PLA troops are high up, you know, over 14,000 feet. This is very difficult terrain. Nobody wants to fight a war in that territory. But they will defend their borders between each other at that point. No, what will happen is India will look for an excuse to go to war, quote, against Pakistan. In other words, to invade Pakistan-controlled Azad Kashmir, right, and cut across that, as your map just showed, the aircraft going across the top of Kashmir over to Afghanistan, which would build a land bridge to Afghanistan and give India access to Central Asia, which it has been denied for all of the existence of independent India. So India is looking for an excuse to go to war. So the PRC is pulling back from that. That's why they pulled back really rapidly after that clash a few months ago up in the mountains. So they're not going to go to war unless they have to. And really it's a war which India is better equipped with manpower, even aircraft and the like, to win. So meanwhile, Beijing is trying to find other ways down into the Indian Ocean. It's looking to reinvigorate its links through Myanmar, Burma, which when the generals capitulated a couple of years during the Obama administration and said, we want to get rid of the Chinese influence and we want to go with the West. And ironically, we saw Secretary of State Hillary Clinton start threatening and lecturing the Burmese generals, the Myanmar generals, at the time, saying, well, you better behave, you better do what we want and the like, instead of saying, oh, thank you very much, this is great because it stops the People's Liberation Army from having direct access down through Myanmar, which borders China, down into the Indian Ocean, which gives China a lot of its global reach. So the reality is that what the West needs to start doing is tolerating, if you like, the instabilities and difficulties in Myanmar at the moment, but not allowing the PLA to get that new access back there. And also they need to start looking at how do you help Pakistan so that it is not dependent on the People's Republic of China for its defense against India, because the Indians literally are very happy to see Pakistan wiped off the map.
Right.
And we've abandoned Pakistan about five times now. So it's going to get it's going to start to get interesting. But the reality
it is already very interesting. I mean, this is like the most interesting game of Risk you've ever seen play. And let's talk a little bit about just in the last few minutes here, the soft power of China, because I know that's their real push. And I have this article here from last year, actually, August of last year. China tells Australia to accept foreign influence to earn economic affluence. I think that kind of sums up their strategy in toto, doesn't it?
Yep. And in fact, they've polarized Australian society to a large degree, because a lot of Australia's wealth from exports comes from this sale of particularly iron ore, and it was coal and other commodities, to the PRC. If that gets cut off, then Australia gets poor overnight.
Right.
This is because the Australian big mining companies, BHP and Rio Tinto, actually rejected advice that I gave them 20 years ago not to put all their eggs in the China basket.
Mm.
And they said, no, this is growth for the next 50 years. And the reality is, firstly, the PRC cannot cut off Australia from its iron ore supplies at this stage, because they can't replace them from any other source, not Brazil, not Africa at this stage. So that it's a bluff in a sense there. But again, in Xi Jinping's centenary speech a few days ago, he did say that Australia would be one of the first countries targeted by PRC nuclear-tipped ballistic missiles in the event of a conflict, or if Australia came to the aid of Taiwan or the Republic of China. The reality is that this is bluster, and the more that Xi Jinping blusters, the more we know that he is feeling frustrations. And in fact, he's almost desperate at the moment. They've run out of money in the PRC of hard currency, so the Belt and Road Initiative is no longer being fully funded. The Chinese domination of Africa is now receding as rapidly as it took place, and it, basically, when the Obama administration walked away from Africa, China walked in. They were given a free continent, if you like, but they're now losing that continent, except in a couple of areas where they're putting.
We froze up, but
so that's in control.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting, and of course, it makes sense. You need the Belt and Road Initiative in order to perhaps create supply chains outside of Australia and America, so they could then maybe fulfill some of their bluster in that regard. Wow, incredibly fascinating, incredibly interesting. Gregory R. Copley is my guest. The New Total War of the 21st Century is his latest book. His website's once again, strategicstudies.org and artofvictory.com. Thank you so much for coming on, Mr. Copley. I would love to have you on again very soon to talk more about this.
Delighted. Thank you, Harrison.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. Wow. Really amazing stuff, folks. Strategicstudies.org, artofvictory.com. The newest book is The New Total War of the 21st Century. I'll be digging into that and learning quite a bit, I think. All right, folks. The Alex Jones Show begins in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Infowars.com, fan.video.